It's The Huddle. Powered in part by Buffalo Wild Wings, Burlington and Plattsburgh. Wings, beer, sports. And by Able Paint, Glass and Flooring. If you need it, they've got it. They're Able. AbleVT.com. And by Reuben James, Main Street, Burlington. Online at RJSBurlington.com. The Huddle is now on 101.3 The Game. 101.3TheGame.com and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, all accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
We're in somewhat all unaccounted
well,
for.
Well, pretty much so.
Pretty interesting. We're going to have to figure out a new way to do this because Arnie and I are out here partying at Valcor Brewing Company, and Rich is back in the studio hanging out with Aaron. I don't know what good excuse you have to not be here in this place. They got milkshake IPA, Rich. I've already had a sip.
This is just wrong. Yeah, I got Essex Colchester football today. And I figured, you know, it's probably not going to work logistically. I'm not sure how I'd get back from Plattsburgh and end up in Essex within, you know, 45 minutes, the time slot I had. So here I am.
I think I like this. We could do the show with Rich, but we don't have to be with Rich. I could, like, move back to Los Angeles, do the show from L.A. on West Coast time. I can't even watch you on Twitch because there's a delay. So you talk, and then your mouth moves like 7 seconds later. You're like a ventriloquist or something like that. So
the Twitch feed is up, although Arnie and I are not on it. You will notice that Rich and Aaron are there as well. We can see intern Shelby moving around. Aaron, do you ever sit in one spot? Yeah. That's what I'd like to know. The whole time you've just been
What's
walking
he
around.
Doing? What's he doing?
I was getting a set of headphones
by the
for
way,
intern Shelby.
I just want to... I want to say this off the bat. I want to thank Nick, the sales guy, for all the help. Because we're live at Valcor Brewing. We should say that. We're in Plattsburgh. And Nick, the sales guy, didn't lift one finger in helping us set up. So I just want to throw that out there.
And you lifted half a finger in helping us.
I did a lot today. I did a lot. I don't understand.
Rich, Arnie got us lost getting off the ferry. So get this. So we get off the ferry, and Nick calls. So Nick, the sales guy, is behind us at this point. He calls us because we're 15 minutes ahead of him. He missed the ferry, didn't get on with us. So we're ahead of him. Then Nick calls us, gives us directions to Valcor, and he says, it'll take you between 5 and 10 minutes. And he goes, here's the only three directions you need. He goes, get off the ferry, turn left on Route 9, go down Route 9, get off the roundabout, the third exit, and take it right. Boom. Arnie puts it into his phone, and there's 78 directions.
I know the shortcut.
It takes us 19 minutes to get here off the ferry. Arnie got us lost.
There's only one way to go off the ferry. You go straight for about 5 miles.
Well, we did that, but the next step, we took a left, as Nick said, and then Arnie decided to put it into his phone, and he took us in a total roundabout way. We were at City Hall. We were near Hobie's Sports Bar, where we've been. We were nowhere near where we actually needed to go. So we get here, and I'm looking at the beer menu. Rich, you really should be here, because this is beer drinker's heaven.
Yes, it is.
They already let me have some of the milkshake IPA. Get this, a pina colada IPA brewed with lactose sugar and pineapple and coconut. I mean, come on. I usually don't drink on the job, but for that, I made an exception.
This could be an interesting show by 5 o'clock.
Well, it'll be really interesting for our viewers and listeners.
By the way, how was your date? Because I was watching you on the Twitch before we started the show. You seemed a little tired. You know, you were yawning a lot. You didn't seem like you got much sleep. How was your date yesterday?
Let's put it this way. It went so well that I got back in town last night at about 1:30 a.m., and I'll just leave it at that.
So what does that mean? Is that why you're barely talking? You seem tired? We should make you do the whole show today. You're yawning like that? I don't know what's going on with you.
Well, I'm not talking because I'm just sitting here in this studio and you guys aren't here, so the timing's a little weird. How do you do this on your national show when your partner is 3,000 miles away?
I don't know. You're horrible at it. Me and my partner are fine. We've been doing it 7 years. You know, it's so funny. My partner on Sunday nights, Chris Plank, I've never met him. And I've only talked to him like twice or three times on the telephone. So I don't know why it's so tough for you, big boy.
Look, it's a lot of fun out here. See, they've got so much stuff. The beer list is extensive. are expansive. They've got vodka as well, including three vodkas from the Albany region, so I feel like I'm a bit, little bit back home here. I don't know, Arnie, whether I'm friend or foe in Plattsburgh, by the way. We do nothing but New England sports on our live play-by-play.
Right.
And then I went to Oswego, and there's a lot of Plattsburgh people around here. I don't know whether to be excited to be in New York or nervous.
No, I always love coming out here, man. It's always a blast, and we get to finally see, you know, when we came out here last summer, we finally get to go ahead and see a lot of the listeners that listen to us across the, you know, lake, and that we don't get to see on a daily basis when we do stuff in Vermont. So I always love coming out to Plattsburgh and meeting all the people out here.
Everybody gets to see how hideous you are, Arnie.
You also were periscoping. You were periscoping our ferry ride over here.
Like, yes,
I was. Does anybody on your Twitter feed care about the ferry ride? Like,
yeah,
hey, here's some water. We're bobbing up and down, and it's going to take us 15 minutes. Like,
I mean,
who cares?
I'm going to look it up. I mean, we were actually getting tons of people when I was doing it live that were watching it. Last check, I had 10 people watching. So, I mean, that's 10 bored people in the world out there that wanted to go ahead and say that. By the way, Donald in Georgia said, Rich sounds like a totally different person today. You sound different today, Rich. I don't know what it
sounds. You sound confident.
Yeah.
I'm smiling, I'll tell you that. And it's not just because it's Friday.
Well, Valcor Brewing, this place is great.
It's awesome here.
It's old military barracks that's become a brewery, a restaurant, a bar. Really, really cool. Like, I don't even know if it's oak, but it's like tree that they've made into a fine bar.
Awesome,
it's beautiful
here.
Come on out. We're giving away a ton of prizes, by the way. We got a Plattsburgh pizza card. We got movie passes over to Cumberland Cinemas if you're over here as well. And we're qualifying you to win a pair of Giants tickets for Week 17 against the Eagles. And get this, Arnie. The beer and wine, buy one, get one free until
nice.
5 o'clock.
All right.
Buy one, get one free. It's Nick the sales guy. Make sure these people know that the beer is buy one, get one free until 5.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Come on now.
That's the best deal in any town.
So get out here. Come watch the show. Enjoy the baseball game. Get something to eat. Get something to drink. They got all kinds of great specials, as we told you. Brady, it is a busy day as we're live at Valcor Brewing Company in Plattsburgh. We want to see you out here. My friend, what's coming up on the show?
Well, Matt Verderam, NFL director at fansided.com. He's going to join us at 3:25. Buster Olney, we teased it overnight and today that he was going to join us at 4:25. He's live at Yankee Stadium, so he's now going to join us at 5 o'clock instead of 4:25. We'll do our weekly NFL picks as well. But first, Arnie, let's just kind of start right there. We got baseball on behind us, and we're going to have baseball on tonight as well on our sister station, WVMT. Yankees and the Twins. I'm excited for this one.
You know, I kind of got pumped up just watching the baseball yesterday, even though the Dodgers won kind of easily. The Braves game got me into it. A lot of intrigue there. I am pumped up into this. I want to go ahead and see how the Yankees are going to start. This is the kind of one of the premier matchups. You always wondered, is the Yankees pitching staff going to hold up? The Twins did it all year long on home runs, but they didn't strike out a lot either. I brought this up, Brady, not long ago, that they were, what, third or fourth not striking out in Major League Baseball. So it's not a team that you're going to get out easy. This is going to be a great matchup. I'm surprised that the Yankees are the overwhelming favorites in this one. You know, pitching wise, I guess I give the Yankees the favorite on that side. Though they had so much trouble during the course of the year, but you only need three starters this time around.
Three things I'm really excited for in this series, if I'm a Yankee fan or just a general baseball fan. One, can the power translate? These are the two most home run dominant teams in baseball history. The Yankees 307 home runs this season. The Twins 306.
Wow.
That's never been done before, where you get any team over 300.
Unbelievable.
Nevertheless, two. Can that power translate to October baseball? That's number one.
Is there a reason both hit so many home runs? Was it just a bunch of bad pitching in the American League, or are we going back to the juiced baseball? Or are you telling me, Brady?
A little bit of both. The juiced baseball. A lot of games against Baltimore and Toronto. If you're the Yankees, a lot of games against Kansas City and Detroit.
Right.
If you're Minnesota and the White Sox, so that all plays in as well. Two for me. Can Giancarlo Stanton do anything here? This guy's making $325 million for the Yankees. Now, they didn't give him that contract, but they acquired him with that contract. He missed nearly the entire season.
Yep.
I don't know even how they're going to deploy him. Is he the DH? Is he the outfield? I'll be interested in talking with Buster as to how Aaron Boone sees the lineup fitting in through this entire series. But can Giancarlo Stanton, Rich, can he do anything to help the Yankees in this series is really one of my top two storylines going in.
Yeah, I have no idea because he's done so little this year because he hasn't been on the field. But the other thing I was thinking about, guys, is the history between these two teams. And and Aaron Boone very smartly deflected the media push when it came to the fact that the Yankees have won 10 straight postseason meetings against the Twins. I think it's 13 of their last 15 playoff games they've won. They beat them in the ALDS in 03. They beat them in 04. They beat them in 09. I think they beat them in 2010. And a couple of years ago, they won that wild card game in New York. So it's history, but most of the guys that are playing on the both of these teams don't care about that because they weren't there.
Yeah, the history shouldn't matter at all, and I hate when people use that. And Arnie, we talked a little bit about this before. Look, history matters when it was very, very recent history. It doesn't matter when we're talking 15, almost 20 years ago for some of these things. Very few of these Twins were even involved in that wild card game back in 2017, so it's a totally different Twins team. It's a largely different Yankees team than has been here in any part of those series as well. Stan is going to play the outfield tonight, but I don't know that
he's going to... Is that a surprise? You shocked at that, or did you think he was going to go ahead and DH?
No, I thought he was going to play the outfield, and Boone was going to put Edwin Encarnacion as the DH.
Which is what he did, right?
Yeah, that's what's happening tonight. I thought that was going to be the case, but I don't know if it's going to be the case through all three, five games of this series, so I'll be interested in talking to Buster about that. The other one, the big storyline is this. Tonight, James Paxton makes his first career playoff start. Look, I love James Paxton. I loved him for a long time. The Yankees acquired him to be a difference maker in October. I think he has that ability, but he's never pitched in a meaningful game before in October. So what's it going to be like for him to channel those emotions and to go up against a team that does not strike out? Paxton is a strikeout pitcher. This team does not strike out in Minnesota. He's not going to rack up 14 strikeouts today in all likelihood. How can he do it?
What about Berrios? What's he been like? When it comes to playoff time, and I'm surprised when you told me, did I hear you're right when you said Paxton's making his first career playoff start?
Making his first career playoff appearance because he spent the rest of his career with the Mariners, and they don't ever make the playoffs.
I thought with the years he's been around that he had gotten there, but it just caught me by surprise there.
No, you like making fun of me more than anything. The Mariners don't make the playoffs. So.
Berrios had a good year, but then again, he benefited by all those home runs because his ERA is not so great.
I'm going to correct you now.
Oh, correct me.
You're in football mode. Yes. Braxton Berrios, Jose Berrios.
Oh, Berrios, I'm sorry.
Okay,
my goodness. That's okay. Go ahead.
You're showing off your baseball hater there.
Yes, go ahead. So, my bad.
I mean, Rich, you know it from the fantasy baseball circles. Berrios is a guy who certainly has the capability to pick up a lot of strikeouts. He's got a good fastball in the mid-90s. He's got a good slider and a good changeup, but he doesn't have the power consistently that a guy like Paxton has.
Right, and he's also one of those guys, and Paxton was running into it early in the season where there was no consistency. He was one of those guys that would go out there and throw a two-hit shutout and strike everybody out, or he'd get bombed in 3 1/3 innings with 7 runs. So obviously the Minnesota squad hoping that they'll get the good Berrios tonight. But I'll tell you, Paxton, he seems to have really gotten it together in the second half of the season, and he's going to have to, because I couldn't believe this when I saw this, but the Twins have 5 guys in their everyday lineup who have hit at least 30 home runs. I mean, that's virtually unheard of.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. And, you know, overall, we said that the Yankee pitching staff, this was about, a month ago? We didn't think that they were going to be able to hold up against anybody. Now, all of a sudden, when you're putting up their 3, it doesn't seem so bad coming into the playoffs.
Well, no, it doesn't seem so bad, but because Paxton's been really, really good, especially since August 1st. Rich mentions the second half of the season, but really the last 2 months of the season, he's been great. He's put up really the best. The Yankees are 20-9 when he starts this season, so even when he was struggling, they were able to win games that he pitched in. 2, Tanaka, while not great in the regular season, ERA of the 4s, does have a good playoff track record, 1.5 ERA. And then Severino, he's a wild card, but he might be, outside of what the Dodgers and Astros have, he might be the best number 3 starter in these playoffs right now. This is a guy who was their wild card starter in 2018 and 2017, if I'm not mistaken. He started both of those games, so he's the guy the Yankees have leaned on in the past. So if he's able to be healthy and be right here, I don't know what kind of depth he can give them consistently, but if he can go 4 or 5 innings, that's a big plus for the Yankees.
Why am I not doing the show from the right field bleachers, getting ready for the game out there? Why am I not sitting out there? How much? Now you got me pumped up to go down to New York and catch a game or catch a baseball game.
Don't be like this. Don't be like this, Mr. I don't want to talk about baseball. Here it is.
It's October.
It's July 5th, and Arnie doesn't want to talk about baseball.
October,
baseball is the only
thing
going on. Now, Rich, he wants to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah. Of course he does. That's his life. He's good. I'll tell you what, if you get a seat out in right field at Yankee Stadium over the next couple of nights, there's a pretty good chance you're getting a baseball in your lap.
You know, where the Yankees had the biggest advantage in this series for me has to be the bullpen. The bullpen is is what can be a deciding factor here for the Yankees, because you look down in that bullpen and you've got the household names: Aroldis Chapman, you've got Zach Britton, you've got Green's down there. I mean, they've got the ability to go, and even without Dylan Betances, who they played out without most of the year, Tommy Canley. They've got guys who have been in the playoffs, who have been in the ALCS a couple of years ago. The Yankees have an experienced bullpen with big names and high price tags. I challenge our listeners to figure out, name one Minnesota Twins reliever for the most part. They're no namers down there. We're talking about who? Trevor May? Like, these are the guys we're talking about down there in the bullpen. Look, they're good, Rich, but I mean, look, they just don't have the cachet that the Yankees bullpen has.
Yeah, and this is classic Twins. These guys, this Mitch Garver guy, who was apparently their catcher and had 31 home runs. I've never heard of the guy. It turns out their closer is some guy named Taylor Rogers, who had 30 saves. When's the last time somebody had 30 saves and nobody's ever heard of him? But that's pretty much what Minnesota's been doing all year long. How many times during the year, early, they got off to a good start? You're like, they don't have any pitching. They're going to be done. And then later in the season, you look up and they've got 101 wins. It's just they've done it completely with smoke and mirrors and a lot of home runs.
And it's interesting, too, because they're doing it with a first-year manager in Rocco Baldelli. And this has been something that's happened over the last couple of years, where you see a team that's had some success replace a manager and go for the gusto, and then it ends up working out in their favor. Now, the Twins were in the playoffs in 2017. Last year, they cratered with Paul Molitor. They fire him. They bring in Baldelli. And now the team goes out. They spend some money this offseason. They go get Nelson Cruz. They go get Marwin Gonzalez. They go make a couple of ancillary moves here or there. But we saw it with Alex Cora. We saw it with Aaron Boone. These are teams that have made moves despite some pretty good track records from their previous manager.
And also, I don't know what the Twins do home run-wise home compared to on the road, but I know they have a good road record, so I'd be curious to see if the home runs are going to continue. I know the over-under is 9, so I guess what they're saying is we expect not a decent amount, but maybe a high-scoring affair. You know, the Cardinals, Braves certainly got a lot of home runs in that one. That was an offensive explosion. The earlier game, the Astro game today, got nothing. So I'm wondering if we will get some home runs in that Twins-Yankees game.
Well, this goes to show you, if you're a Yankee fan, that you're really rooting hard for the Rays here, because you don't want to face what Houston's throwing.
No,
And I've told you this. It's ironic, too, Arnie, because we've talked about, can power win in October, and I've said consistently that it can't. You said that it can.
Yes,
I think home runs will matter here, but what do you talk about? The first thing you mentioned when you mentioned the Los Angeles Dodgers is what?
Pitching.
They're pitching. It's
absolutely,
Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah.
It's Walker Buehler, who we saw last night. It's Hyunjin Ryu.
Yeah, but nobody has a staff like those guys, though. Astros.
Yeah, Verlander, yeah. Cole, and Greinke.
Verlander's actually throwing a no-hitter right now, going to the top of the fifth.
Verlander, Cole, and Greinke. I would argue that when you mention those two teams, the two favorites, Rich, it's all about pitching. It's not about the power. That's why I'd be worried about the Yankees.
Oh, absolutely. But I really just want to see this thing fall into place where Yankees-Astros turns into a classic 7-game series between power and great pitching. And that's going to be a lot of fun to watch if you ever get to it. Interesting thing, though, Arnie, you just mentioned Verlander. Yeah, he's got a no-hitter going through 4. That's not a huge surprise. But for Tampa, Tyler Glasnow is back. And Brady, you remember that name. This kid was on his way to an unbelievable season, and he got hurt very early, probably after about 8 or 9 starts. He's got himself a shutout through 3 innings, too. So if you can get Glasnow back in that lineup, and of course you got last year's Cy Young Award winner back to a point, you can only go a couple of innings. But Tampa Bay may actually give Houston a little bit of a run here.
Yeah, Glasnow is really good. Blake Snell has the potential of being really good, obviously, and that Rays bullpen has some nice pieces in it. So that's a good series to monitor. But Yankees coverage tonight, remember, we've got it for you on our sister station, WVMT. That's AM 620, and that coverage will start at 625. I'm pumped for this series.
I was going to say, have you ever seen a team win 100 games coming in with less fanfare than the Minnesota Twins? 101 wins. If it was the Red Sox that had over 100 wins, this Yankee-Red Sox would be prime time. It's not at 7 o'clock Eastern, but everybody would be talking about it. Prime time, must-see TV. Nobody's making it must-see TV, it seems like.
Well, I'm making it must-see TV. It's the playoffs. You said it right there. It's the playoffs. It's playoff baseball. It's October in the Bronx. You've got to be all in on this. I'm excited about this matchup. I don't think the Twins are a pushover, because I do think that they have the ability to outslug the Yankees in this series. I don't think either one of them can beat Houston if it goes that way, because I do believe that good pitching will beat good hitting. In October, as the weather gets worse and as the pitching gets better, it's going to be harder and harder to create runs in other ways. And I worry about the Yankees and their ability to do that. They just They are so reliant on the home run. They don't play with a lot of team speed. Judge can run a little bit, but he's not going to steal bases. Gardner can run. Maben can run. Some of their pinch runners like Tyler Wade can run. But if you do that, then you impact the rest of the lineup if the game goes long or whatever. I worry about the Yankees' ability to manufacture runs. Maybe it doesn't matter in this series because the twin starters are not as good. But what's coming next down the line in either the ALCS or the World Series, that's where I really, really have an issue with the Yankees.
Can you imagine if we just have a home run explosion? I mean, the Yankees, you say it's pitching against home runs. Can you imagine if the Yankees, you know, who we expected to have great home run power, but they had so many injuries, start teeing off also. We could have games like double-digit 10-9, 11-10 type games here.
This game, Rich, this series, rather, could yield some big offensive numbers, but I think by and large the Yankees are done in the ALCS because they just don't have the pitching to be able to contend with some of these other teams.
Yeah, Arnie was just talking about, I just looked at the Minnesota lineup. The home run totals, I won't go through the whole thing. For the first six hitters, these are final season home run totals for the first six hitters. Yeah. Their leadoff hitter is their catcher, and he hit 31. And then down the line, the second was 22, 41, 32, 34, 36. That's one through six in that batting order in the starting lineup for Minnesota tonight. That's just ridiculous.
Twins are a very good baseball team. It'll be interesting to see what they do with the Yankees tonight. Hey, remember, we are live at Valcor Brewery, Brewing Company.
Awesome here.
In Plattsburgh. They just brought out the world's biggest tray of nachos.
I love it.
We get nachos a lot of places that we go. I've never seen nachos quite like this, and these nachos are delicious. They're pouring soda over here. Those guys got beer over there. We need a commercial break soon so I can go try some of this out. Look at this. They got a beer 6.6%. That's the milkshake IPA.
Right, I saw that. When you said you were getting a milkshake, I thought you meant the real milkshake. I'm like, I want one of those too, man.
No, the milkshake IPA. Nick, the sales guy, is already dressed down for the day. He's like trying to make 6 o'clock come at 4 o'clock just so he can start drinking here. So it's been a blast so far. Come out until 6 o'clock with us. And remember, the happy hour specials go 3 to 5.
Absolutely.
Buy one, get one free beer. And we're qualifying you to win Giants tickets.
Oh, awesome. So we want to see you out here. We don't get to come to Plattsburgh too often, so make sure you come on out. Remember, if you want to get a part of the show, Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. So go ahead and jump on in. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
When we come back, Matt Verderam, NFL Director, fansided.com. As happy as we are about playoff baseball, it's still a football Friday, so we'll get you ready for both the Patriots and Redskins and the Giants and Vikings.
Matt Verderam next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
He's been here forever.
I remember when UVM couldn't win any games.
He's one of you.
I'm just the guy at the end of the bar.
It's Rich Haskell on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
Welcome back here in The Huddle right here on 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com. Every Friday at this time, we go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and talk with Matt Verderam, NFL Director at fansided.com. Matt, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you doing?
Are you recovered yet from your ace choke job in the playoffs again?
Yes, because it's an expected rite of passage as an ace fan in October. It would have been stunning if there was any other result.
Well, I just had to throw that in there, Matt. So now let's move to football because we want to talk about the Patriots. The Patriots often struggled last week against the Bills. Is there any blueprint now on the Patriots to slow them down that Buffalo found? That the Buffalo Bills had now on the Patriots? Is there a blueprint now to slow down this offense?
No, look, I don't think it was really a blueprint as much as can you play defense as well as Buffalo does? Because if you can, then yeah, sure, there's a blueprint. But I thought, watching that game, look, Tre'Davious White is a great corner, and he can take away whoever he's guarding. And so I thought, you know, he played up to standards, and he's a potential all-pro. You know, the Bills have Micah Hyde back there, who's an extremely versatile defensive back, and he played all over the field in the game on Sunday. So I think the other part of it is, too, with New England, they're missing a lot of guys, and I think it's starting to add up. I said last week when we did the spot, not having James Devlin matters.
Yeah.
It's a major problem, okay? They don't obviously have Antonio Brown anymore, which, okay, fine, fair enough, but Edelman coming off the chest injury, you know, Gordon was locked up for a good part of that game. They're missing linemen all over the place. Andrews out for a year, Wynn's out for a while. So I think ultimately here, New England's going to be a defensive team for a while. They'll beat up on bad teams, but against good teams, they're going to have to win these games, only scoring maybe in the low to mid-20s.
Matt, one of the guys you didn't mention on that injured list was Tom Brady. I mean, do you think he was limited to that game? He was throwing a lot of balls away immediately. Was this a bigger deal than we thought?
You know, It's hard to say. If we're being completely honest, it's very hard to say because the Pats have put him on injury list for years. And he's on week after week after week, and it never really seems to be a big deal, at least usually. He's also 42 years old. And any time a 42-year-old quarterback has an injury in his calf or lower leg, you always worry about, hey, you know, is it something that could potentially tear? Is it, you know, God forbid, is it something near his Achilles? Is it something that's going to hinder him? Now, I don't think that the injury had much to do with the Bills game. I think the Bills played really well defensively, which they've done all year long. And I think, look, at some point, there is a tipping point with New England's offense. I mean, they just cannot continue to lose all these guys. They are a run-first team at this point. I know everybody freaked out earlier in the year with Brown and Gordon and Edelman. Well, Brown's gone, and Edelman, as great as he is a possession receiver. So when they play a decent defense, they need to run the football. And without Devlin, they're going to have to get creative. Now, they can do it. There's no team in the league that's better at being creative. But they do have some real offensive issues.
Well, you talk about the offensive issues. They may need to win games in the low 20s. If they're going to do that, they're going to need a reliable kicker, and Steven Gostkowski is now out for the year. Yeah. And look, a lot of people were texting me, oh, this is great. I wanted Gostkowski gone for years.
It's not a good thing.
Not a good thing at all to go get Mike Nugent, I think. How big a deal is this?
Like, Mike Nugent's fine. I would question anybody telling me, what is the biggest kick Mike Nugent's ever made in his life? Because it's not one of the top 30 for Steven Gostkowski. Look, that's not to say Nugent won't get the job done. He's been a good kicker for a long time in the NFL. There's also a reason that Mike Nugent was available. Okay, yeah. Like, the reality is, this idea that Gostkowski somehow, oh, he's not that good. Gostkowski's one of the best kickers in NFL history. He's a very, very good kicker. And I think, you know, right now at the Pats, they've dealt with higher profile injuries in the past. You know, Gronkowski was always banged up. Hightower's had his injuries. But right now, they are dealing with some very, very under-the-radar critical injuries. Gostkowski's one of them. He's gone for the year. David Andrews is an enormous loss at center. He's gone for the year. Isaiah Wynn has never been healthy since he's been a Patriot. We'll see if he comes back off IR at some point. Devlin, I will say it again, he is so important to how they run the football. He is so critical to that. Him not being there is an enormous loss. So, you know, I think people always look at the guys who, you know, they sell the jerseys. But the Pats are losing very, very important players that may not sell a lot of jerseys, but they win a lot of games for New England.
And Matt, assuming that Gostkowski's gone for the year, which I believe he is, so you have the IR situation where, I mean, you just mentioned Devlin. What are you doing if you can only bring two of the three between Devlin, Wynn, and Harry back?
It's kind of counterintuitive. If everything's equal, I would leave Harry on IR.
Yeah, too.
Because they need Wynn. They need him. Look, Skarnecki is an unbelievable offensive line coach. I actually am of the opinion he should be in the Hall of Fame. But the reality is, you know, you can only do so much with limited talent. They need Wynn. They need him. They're going to need him later in the year. And to me, Devlin's more important than Harry. And I know people might argue with that. Say, well, you know, Nikhil Harry, first-round pick. We need another receiver. I get all that. But the Pats have won Super Bowls for years on end with a bunch of questionable outside receivers, okay? They need Devlin, and they're going to need him come playoff time. They are going to need him so they can run the ball for 170 yards in a playoff game, because if they don't have him, well, Burkhead does a decent imitation, but he's not James Devlin. He's just not. They need him desperately. So I would leave Harry on the IR and try to swing a trade. Look, I'll give you one right now. If I'm New England, if the Bengals get A.J. Green back healthy, I would be calling them up every day. What is it going to take? Is it going to take a third-round pick? It's not going to take a first. Would it take a second? Because that would be the phone call I'm making every single day from now to the trade deadline once Green's healthy.
Matt Verderam, NFL Director, fansided.com, with us every week at 3:25 here on the Huddle on 101.3 The Game. Look, I'll give you another receiver. We heard a lot about Stephon Diggs yesterday. That didn't make a lot of sense to me money-wise, but what about Emmanuel Sanders?
He's another guy. Look, and you know what? Belichick has a long history of trying to deal anyway with Denver. He tried desperately to get the Marius Thomas last year. It didn't work out. And obviously he picked him up, you know, in the offseason before trading him off to the Jets. But that's a good one. That's absolutely a good one. Denver should be in sell mode. They should be selling everybody who's not nailed down. So, look, there's going to be receivers who are out there. There absolutely are going to be. And you mentioned the money situation. It's a good point. Look, you can always kind of move money around in the NFL, The problem with the Diggs thing is there's no Minnesota has no reason to trade him.
Yeah.
This is zero. I know he wants out, but who cares?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm Minnesota, he signed through 2023. Like, I'm not trading him. And if you're the Vikings, you just gave Kirk Cousins $84 million guaranteed. Well, the second they did that, they basically said, look, we will do anything to make Kirk Cousins succeed here. Well, you're not making him succeed by trading away Stephon Diggs. So, like, ultimately, I don't think Diggs is an option. Sanders is a really good one. He's a pro. He fits what they need. And I think in reality, look, if you're the Pats, you're going to need to do something offensively because this whole season's going toward one thing. The AFC title game with them in Kansas City, and it's either going to be in New England or in Arrowhead. And if they're going to win that game, and look, they're the favorite to do so, but they're going to need to score points. They're probably not holding the Chiefs 17 points.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Belichick is thinking about that now and not waiting until December.
Matt, you got the Pats and Redskins this week. I mean, it's got 43-6 written all over it. But where do you see anything where Washington can do something well in this game?
Get on the bus in a single file line. They're terrible. I know this just makes for bad radio. They're awful. There's nothing I could give you that would say, oh, this could be a game at half. If this is a game, New England has like a legitimate concern here. The next 3 weeks, and correct me if I'm wrong, I know they play, obviously, Washington this week. They play the Giants on Thursday night next week. And then isn't it the Jets after that?
Yep.
I mean, if New England gives up more than 14 points in any of the next three games, it'd be stunning. Maybe if Barkley's back, the Giants can scratch across a few points, but it is just such a slog. I mean, New England, like, their schedule gets tough after that. Their schedule does become somewhat arduous afterward, but for the next 3 weeks, my God. I mean, they could play their backups and win these games.
Matt Verderam, fansided.com, NFL director there, joins us every single Friday at this time on the Huddle 101.3 The Game. Look, when we mentioned the Vikings and the Stephon Diggs drama, they're taking on the Giants this week in a battle of 2-2 teams. I'm actually talking myself in here to the Giants being able to win this game. Am I crazy?
You're not crazy. I think Minnesota's going to win. They're a much better team on both sides of the ball. That being said, there is something to... I know people argue about this, especially in the analytics world. I believe in momentum. I believe it's a real thing. The Giants have won two in a row. Barkley's coming back. Now, he may not play in this game. Doesn't look like he will, but he's on the mend. He's coming back. It seems a lot quicker than he was expected to. Daniel Jones hasn't been perfect, but he's given them a shot in the arm. He's certainly more dynamic than Manning at this point. The Vikings should win the game, but it's also the kind of game that if the Giants jump out in front of them early with the crowd, you wonder if Minnesota, like, that will be the ultimate gut check for the Vikings. Will Cousins come back? Because right now, Cousins has been awful. I don't know how much, you know, Vikings football you guys have watched. But my guy, he's been one of the bottom 5-6 quarterbacks in the NFL this year. It is impossibly bad. So, look, if the Giants are going to win, they've got to take away Dalvin Cook. And I don't know whether that means 8 in the box. I don't know if that means just run blitzes on early downs. Because the Giants are going to have a hard time dealing with Diggs and Thielen one-on-one. But I think you have to stop Cook. And you have to force Cousins to throw the football, which is something right now Minnesota just wants no part of.
Matt, is it simple enough to just say Kirk Cousins is the problem with the Minnesota offense, or is it something beyond that?
No, look, I think it's simple enough to say. I talked to Rick Spielman about right before the season started, about a month ago, for a column I did on Fansided, and he explained to me, you know, I asked him, so why didn't you change up the roster? When 8-7-1, it was disappointing. And his answer was, well, we felt like, you know, to some degree it was a coaching problem. So DeFilippo was out at the end of last year as offensive coordinator. They brought in Rick Dennison and they brought in Gary Kubiak, two longtime Broncos coaches, to institute their run scheme. And it's worked. And they thought, and this is from Spielman, he said, look, if we can run the ball the way we want to run the ball, and we think we will with Dennison and Kubiak, then that ought to be able to kind of fix everything else. Well, they've run the ball incredibly well. So he was right about that. The problem is his Cousins has somehow gotten worse. And if it doesn't change soon, you might see bigger changes in Minnesota. I don't know what they do. I mean, Cousins is locked in. But this is a week with the Giants where they're catching a good team in a weird spot. You could sell me on the idea that Minnesota gets right in this game, that the Giants just don't have the personnel to stop them. You could also sell me on the idea that the Giants are 14-0 in the first quarter and this thing goes completely sideways. So I think Minnesota wins because they're better, but I wouldn't be shocked if Giants walked out with an upset win.
Matt, we'll get you out of here on this. 2 hours from now, we're going to do kind of our rapid fire on the NFL, and we always do player we're most excited to watch this in the upcoming week. And for me, it's Golden Tate. I actually think this is a huge deal, the Giants getting him back. Former NFL tight end Joseph Fourier, who played with Tate in Detroit, said he's got the best ball skills I've ever been around, except for Calvin Johnson. Like, that's pretty high praise. I'm excited. What does Tate bring to this team?
Tate is a very dynamic player. Now, look, he's not maybe the burner he was when he came out of Notre Dame, but Tate's a guy, first of all, as Fourier mentioned, great hands. I mean, the first thing when you watch him, he's got great hands. He's still athletic. He's one of the better receivers you'll ever see on those quick screens. And that's obviously in vogue now in the NFL. He is phenomenal at getting through that traffic and getting those yards. So that's something I expect the Giants to use him with. He's also a guy, like, he runs a lot of different routes. He gets himself open. He will be a very nice security blanket. And all of a sudden, look, you're the Giants. You got Tate. You got Shepard. You got Evan Engram. Like, you should be able to throw the ball. That offense, the line's been better than I think people thought it was going to be. So I think the Giants offensively are going to be pretty good. I really, especially when Barkley comes back. My question with the Giants is, what are they defensively? Now, I know they gave up 3 points against the Redskins, but the Redskins are a high school team. Like, what are they going to do when they play Dalvin Cook and company? It's a stiff test, but I do think Golden Tate helps a lot, and I do think he opens up some of the other options in the offense as well.
Matt Verderam, fansided.com, every Friday, 325, you're breaking down the NFL. Matt, we appreciate it, man, and I'll see you in person next week because we're going to be at the same wedding next weekend, so I'm looking forward to seeing you and looking forward to having you on the air again.
That's true. Our friend made a huge mistake.
Matt, we'll talk to you later.
Hey, sounds good, man.
Yeah, I'm going to be hanging out with V next week.
That's going to be fun for you, man. You're excited about that.
I've seen Matt. I saw him at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I've seen him at the Super Bowl a couple of times since he's been at FanSided, since I've been up here in Burlington, Plattsburgh. But we haven't really gotten to hang out like when we were in college together. So next week at the wedding that we're at, we'll see what happens.
Open bar, I'm assuming.
I mean, that's the only way. Isn't that the only way to do a reception?
I guess.
Does anyone actually care about that? Hopefully not. Does anybody actually care about the ceremony, or do we all just care about the reception?
It's all about the reception.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
All right, Rich, tell everybody where you're going to be on Saturday, my friend.
Yeah, tomorrow, 11 to 2, I'll be out at the Champlain Valley Fairgrounds along with the New England Hemophilia Association. They're having a fundraiser at the fairgrounds tomorrow to find out who makes the best Bloody Mary in the Champlain Valley. We're going to have 13 vendors from all the restaurants and bars you love around the Champlain Valley competing. So lots of Bloody Marys to try out. We want to find out what the best one is. Our buddy Vince is the head of the event. He's one of our serial texters and a good friend of the show. So the least we can do is head out and help out his cause. Again, it's a fundraiser tomorrow at the fairgrounds for the New England Hemophilia Association. So you fans of Bloody Marys, you want to be there from 11 until 2.
All right, so have some fun out there. That is going to be a good time. By the way, we are live at Valcor Brewing Company in Plattsburgh. We want you to come on out. Starting to get a good crowd here. The food is awesome. Great drink specials, great food specials. Just having a blast out. This is a great place out here.
Some of our texters are here. Scott in Plattsburgh is over
there. Nobody said hello to me.
Well, maybe you should get up and say hello to them.
I've been busy. I've been working. I think the sales guy hasn't lifted a finger. I've been doing everything myself.
I'm waiting for Jason in Plattsburgh, who rips me all the time and told me he come on my podcast and go toe-to-toe with me, then bailed on me.
No!
I'm waiting for him to show his face here.
All right. Come on by. We'll be here until 6. But they said, what is next? You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Whoa. What did he say?
I think Eli is the most disrespected quarterback in the history of the NFL.
He really said that?
Baker's not even a good NFL quarterback yet.
It's they said what?
I just want to watch a game without it being interrupted.
On the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, live at Valcor Brewing Company. Come on by. We're in Plattsburgh. We never get to come out to Plattsburgh. It's been a little while, so we've got a good amount of people come on by to say hello. I love it, Brady. It's great to meet our Plattsburgh listeners.
It's great to meet our Plattsburgh listeners. We just had some photos taken, but when I tell people I'm an Oswego graduate in Plattsburgh, they give me dirty looks, so I don't know what happens. Like, I don't know what to be honest about and what not to be honest about here. I mean, it's terrible. They want to throw things at me when they found out I was from Oswego.
And one of the ladies is a big fan of mine, and I guess the rest of you guys. But definitely, they come up to me and they go, "Gosh, I didn't know you were so good looking." It's crazy. I'm so much better looking when they see me. I hear that all the time.
Well, that's what's
it's crazy,
so,
Rich.
That's what's so great about the Twitch thing is you can't get away with BSing these people anymore about what you truly look like. I'm telling you, George the Animal Steel, it's you.
All right, Brady, let's get to They Said What. What's going to be first up?
Well, how about Colin Cowherd every day on before us, noon to 3. Colin talking about Thursday night football last night. Seahawks beat the Rams 30-29. Just how good is Russell Wilson?
They said what?
Why is it? I watched Russell last night, and I'm like, why is it? It's just, he never gets hit. He never panics. He never stresses. He slides perfectly. His self-awareness is amazing. This kid, Russell Wilson, has been doing this for 14 years. He has perfected it. When the Rams gave up 55 points to Jameis Winston, you hang your head. I think last night you give up 30 to Russell, and you're like, well, we did the best we could. I think there are people inside that room that think, hey, we went from 55 to Jameis to 30 to Russell. What a night for us. Because I don't think you can solve this riddle. I don't think you can solve Russell. I don't think you can coach against it. I watched that game last night with former Jets and Browns head coach and Patriot defensive coordinator Eric Mangini. And he watched it, and on multiple times he laughed. He's like, this is just a nightmare. Because Eric's a defensive coach. He goes, this is awful. You can't defend this stuff. There's nothing you can do. And he kept going to his phone, and he'd say, look at the night he's having. That may have been as good as he ever played.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I was going to say the first touch on the locker was absolutely incredible. That was a great throw. I was going to say
great
maybe
catch.
Even maybe better catch, but I'm not even sure I could say that because that was an unbelievable throw on that play.
It had a 6.3% chance of being completed.
That is insane. I would think less than that the way they crammed it into the corner like that.
The lowest of any touchdown this year.
And all I'll say
to you is this, Arnie. Do you remember back in the summer? Back in June, when Colin was speculating about Russell Wilson being traded to the Giants.
Yes.
And you.
Yes.
Arnie Spanier. What's your
yes.
middle name? What's your middle name?
Elliot. Elliot.
Arnold Elliot Spanier.
Yes.
You.
Yes.
You.
Yes.
Said that Russell Wilson would not be a good fit for your New York Giants.
I said I didn't want him.
Yeah. Do you regret that?
No, because
how do you
now we got Daniel Jones. We got the young guy at a fraction of the cost. This is why we're going to be able to win. It would have cost a lot of money. And by the way, who knew if he was going to be so successful?
Oh, stop.
He's
been
with the Giants he's been with Seattle.
He's been in the league for 7 years already. This is year 8. He's been a stud every single one of them. He's been in the playoffs every
yes,
year
yes.
but one. He's been to a Super Bowl twice.
That doesn't mean he's successful in New York. There's a lot of quarterbacks that can go from a good team to a crappy team and not even make them. Look at Nick Foles. He went to a Super Bowl. He wasn't going to go to a Super Bowl with Jacksonville before he got hurt. I promise you that.
Russell Wilson has done it with an elite defense and an elite running game. He's done it with no offensive line. He's done it with no defense. He's done it with no receivers.
How come you don't say he's set up for failure without an offensive line like you make an excuse for all the other quarterbacks up
I'm
there?
I'm saying though. Russell Wilson is a top three quarterback in the league.
Yeah, but
okay?
No. You
he
make,
overcomes
yeah.
it. Daniel Jones, yeah. Eli Manning, they don't overcome being set up for failure. Rich, I mean, you watched that game last night. Tell me Arnie's crazy in that when he says, I don't want Russell Wilson in New York.
Yeah, I tell you what, if there's a better quarterback right now in the whole NFL, I'm not sure who it is. I mean, that was a ridiculous performance last night. And the funny thing was he only threw the ball 23 times, and he still had 268 yards and 4 touchdowns. It was an unbelievable performance. And the thing is yeah. you know, and he's always been a guy who's, you know, you talked to Brady earlier in the week about however you want that guy, and I don't blame you, as your team's quarterback, to stop running the ball so much. He had 8 carries last night, but he keeps defenses honest because he does run the ball 8 or 9 times every night. It's seems like.
Well, Wilson's great with his legs, great mobility, and to Colin's point, he doesn't get hit an awful lot. I will say that the personal foul on Clay Matthews, I thought, I did not think that was a good call. I thought the Seahawks got gifted that one, so I will admit that as well as a Seahawks fan, but Russell Wilson just, he finds a way to extend plays and do so in a way that doesn't allow him to get killed, and he's been doing it since day one.
If you watch the first 7-8 minutes of the game, you said Todd Gurley's back. No, he's not back. He's not back.
No.
He looked good in that first couple of drives out there, but I don't know what's going on. He just does. Worth the money? My goodness, this guy's getting money, and he's not even coming close to performing. I don't know if there was a real injury there, or he wore down, or they didn't give him the ball, or. I don't know what it is, Brady. He's just not back. I don't think everybody was raving about those first couple of tries, but I don't see it.
Once more, I ask you this: you don't want to pay Russell Wilson? He makes too much money.
I do it the Patriot way. I don't pay anybody.
Yeah, you don't. Is there one player in the league you would pay?
Overall, though, you mean just like, well, I mean, it depends what I want. I'd pay for a quarterback, but it depends on who that quarterback is going to be.
You won't pay for Russell Wilson.
No, you know what? He rubs me the wrong way. I'm not saying
he's not
a great.
He rubs me the wrong way.
I'm not saying he wasn't a great quarterback. He's not a great quarterback, but I wouldn't know. I'm sticking with Daniel Jones on a fraction of the cost. How much does Russell Wilson make this year or next year?
Probably $30 million.
And how much is Daniel Jones going to make?
Probably $10 million.
30. I'm going to take Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, is he going to make that much even?
I think Kyler Murray makes.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to make as
I'll
much as
I'll tell you
that.
In a second.
But yeah, I think I'm going to take Daniel Jones for now after what I've seen. By the way, the Astros are going to start really routing Tampa now. It's 2-0. They got runners on second and third and one out. This is what you've been waiting for. But no, look, Russell Wilson is great, but that's a tough division. We'll see how it works out.
Daniel Jones
going to be awesome.
Averages $6 million a year.
Oh, geez. I'll take the $6 million for sure right now.
You won't pay anybody.
Yeah.
You are like the cheapest person ever.
Henry from Fletcher. Oh, I don't even do. I want to read that. Says Rich said he didn't get home till 1:30. They want to know more about your date, Rich, than they do about the baseball game.
Well, we got to go to break, so Rich is off the hook.
Thank you, Brady.
All right. Hour one in the books. We got so much to get to today. By the way, Brady, tell everybody where you'll be on watching the Patriot game.
Sunday, Burger Bar in Colchester will be there qualifying you for Patriots tickets. Pat's Redskins party starts at 1. Scheinerbach beer on special for just $2.50. Looking forward to seeing everybody there.
All right. Make sure you say hello to Brady. Coming up next, Brady will tell you what's trending. We'll get you ready for the top four at four. We'll get you ready for hour two. That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 the game.
Back to our take on stories of the day. Call in and give us yours at 802-655-6672. The Huddle is on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. It is a Friday. We are live at Valcor Brewing Company in Plattsburgh. Come on by. You know it's a party when Rams fan Ralph walks into the place.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Rams fan Ralph is here. He's over there in the corner. He owes me a beer because he tried to make a foolish bet that the Seahawks would lose to the Rams. And the milkshake IPA is on you once 601 hits, Ralph. Don't think you're getting out of that.
That's his second drink, and he just sat down for like 10 seconds. I want you to know that. He's on his second drink, so I want you to know that.
A lot of the texters that give us grief are here. Scott in Plattsburgh is here. Rams fan Ralph is here. But still magically no sign of Jason in Plattsburgh, who wants to fight me. He still won't show his face.
I was going to say, doesn't Scott in Plattsburgh rip me? And then I went over to say hello. He was like a little, don't yell at me. I mean, it was like he was like cowering in the corner.
I think Scott in Plattsburgh is one of the few that actually like
him. Okay, then I take that back. Then it's like every time you walk up to somebody, he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to tell you off when I come to the remote," and then you walk over and say hi. He's like, "Yeah, you had something to say." You're like,
and how about that woman a little while ago who's a big
fan of mine,
a big fan of ours?
Ours. I meant ours.
And she said her husband would be nice and jealous. And Rich, everywhere Arnie goes, he makes a friend. Woman comes up to him, and goes, "I see your Arizona hat. I live in Tucson. I've been there for 24 years. Did you go to school there?" And they just tug. Got on a 25-minute tangent during the commercial break about Arizona.
Unbelievable. Oh, I did want to let you guys know that we now have just hit the highest number of viewers on Twitch a couple of minutes ago that we have had since we started it a couple of weeks ago.
Nice!
And I bring this up because it's just Aaron and myself on the screen today. So I'll take some credit.
Aaron looks very dapper.
Obviously, the fact that I look like Brad Pitt is obviously making a difference.
Don't tell your new girlfriend this because she'll start getting jealous, and you don't want that a week into your relationship.
Yeah, we need some details about the date last night. How was it? You went to bed at 1:30 in the morning. I don't like that you're not getting your beauty sleep, and you need your beauty sleep.
Yeah, this is coming from you, Mr. Beautiful himself. But no, I went out with all our friends last night. We bar hopped downtown St. Albans until they all closed. And that's the reason I was so late. And, of course, as soon as I announced that I was home at 1:30 last night, all of our perverted folks on the text line were just making an assumption that wasn't real.
Are you? You're just lucky that the Bruins won. We'll get to that in the top four and four. Because if the Bruins had lost, would you have broken a beer glass or something? Because what would you have? I mean, really, what would you have done if the Bruins had lost? You wouldn't have been as fun to be around.
I purposely didn't watch 1 second of that game. I was completely focused on trying to memorize a lot of new names.
What?
Wait.
What?
Opening night of the Bruins.
What?
Rich, who proclaims, "Oh, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, hockey is back." It's opening night of hockey, and you said I didn't watch 1 second. What, are you in love already?
What?
I'm deeply in like. Does that count? Yeah, I
is that even a phrase?
And I was in a bar the whole time too, where there was TVs all around. But and in the hockey capital of Vermont, St. Albans, I didn't see one television showing a hockey game. I couldn't believe they didn't have a Habs game on in Carolina either.
Yeah, the funny thing about TVs, if you go up to the bartender and say, "Can you change the channel?" I think they've got that technology now to put on a hockey game. I don't know, but I'm thoroughly disgusted in you right now.
I was
for the
distracted.
First time.
I was distracted. What can I say?
First time in doing 86 years of radio, I'm speechless. I have nothing to say. I can't believe this.
This is a beautiful moment, ladies and gentlemen. Arnie is
Rich,
speechless.
Rich, is this one of these things now where your new relationship's going to impact your work? Because so far, go to bed at 1:30, get 2 hours of sleep, come in tired. Then don't watch any of the Bruins games, so don't do proper homework for the show. Are we going to have a talk with her about work-life balance?
Yes.
I can tell you every possible thing you need to know about that Bruins victory last night. I'm ready to go. Yeah, ask me anything.
Yeah, you know what, though? You're acting like a phony in front of your new girlfriend because that's not the way you normally are. Oh, honey, I'm not going to watch the hockey game. I don't like hockey really as much as you. Oh, honey, you know, trust me, that's not the way you want to go. You got to be yourself a little bit. I am the love machine. I know what I'm talking about. What's wrong with you?
What a disgusting thought. Arnie, the love guru.
That's insane. I remember, that first date I went out with my wife, I tried to impress her by ordering a salad, no dressing on the side, that whole thing. That didn't last long, Brady. You can't be doing stuff like that.
I'm happy you're happy, Rich, but I just want to make sure that you stay your... I just want to make sure that you don't let it affect work.
No, but priorities are priorities. It's early in the relationship, and also once we settle in, I'll start watching hockey again, maybe in a month or two.
A month or two.
Oh, my goodness.
You've been counting down for hockey for like 6 months already, and here we are. You're telling me I won't watch for a month or two.
Who are you?
I don't even know who you are.
Who are you? Who are you?
What's happened to our boy?
What's happened to Rich? All right, hey, we are live. I don't even know what to
say. I don't know what that. Who are you?
We're live at Valcor Brewing Company. This place is awesome, and the bar now is completely full.
Yes.
There's still some room at tables and booths, et cetera, but the bar is hopping. Get that? We're at a bar. It's hopping.
A lot of people coming up to me wanting autographs and pictures. I could see why.
Nobody wanted an autograph, and one person asked for a picture of
very
both of
good
us.
Looking.
So that's definitely, well, you're not as good looking as you think
I
you
think
are.
I think I am.
Honest.
You should maybe get a fake tan or something.
Wow. Am I white? Do I look pasty white?
You're glowing in front of me.
I don't understand
It hurts my eyes.
Okay. Mr. Magoo.
So anyways. Yeah. So we are live at Valcor Brewing Company in Plattsburgh. This place is great. The vibe is awesome. We're giving away a ton of stuff. We're giving away a Plattsburgh pizza card, movie passes over to Cumberland Cinemas. We're trying to get you to win a pair of Giants tickets for Week 17 against the Eagles. The beer and wine is buy one, get one free for the next hour. And Rich is back in studio missing it all because he's got high school football tonight between Essex and Colchester, I think.
Well, that's a good cause. It is Colchester-Essex. Should be fun. We're going to be over there, and the game's going to be pregame 6:50 and kickoff around 7 o'clock. And that will be actually on 101.3 The Game instead of on the AM side of things tonight.
All right, Brady, let's get to the top four at four.
The Huddle has 3 hours of show to cover everything. Every day.
Four.
So you don't miss any.
Three.
It's the top four at four.
Two. One.
On 101.3 The Game.
Aaron, this is where you hit the green buttons that say, thanks to.
I thought you took us into those.
Don't think. That's your problem.
Just
don't think.
All right, here we go.
Thanks to Grazer's Restaurant at Maple Tree Place, Williston and Main Street, St. Albans. Order online at grazersvt.com. Agave Taco Tequila Casa at Maple Tree Place. Order online at agavevt.com.
All right, there we go. Now we're on track. Rich, you didn't watch 1 second of it, so I'll just tell you. The Bruins beat the Stars last night 2-1. It was opening night for the defending Eastern Conference champions. Somebody named Brett Ritchie,
yes,
who they got from the Stars. He had the first goal of the season, barely a minute into the season.
Great.
And then Danton Heinen had a power play goal in the first period as well. Bruins only needed 20 shot attempts on net to get those two goals. They get two early, get out to an early lead. Tuukka Rask with 28 saves. So it was a pretty good win for the Bees on opening night.
Unlike Rich, I actually watched some of this game. I got to tell you, not sure. Yes, I did, actually. But I'm in between on this one for a couple of reasons. One, yes, it's a good victory anytime you do it on the road, and I expect good things out of the Stars. Bishop was horrible out of his, like, first three or four shots. The first goal that went in, I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
What kind of angle was that for Richie?
I'm just like, man, are you awake? Do you know that the season started? And Ben Bishop is supposed to be carrying them this year. But, I mean, look, it's early. It was the first game. The Bruins didn't get a lot of shots. After that first, and they got the two goals, they kind of fell in a little bit of a funk, Brady. But, again, like I said, anytime you do it against a quality team like the Stars on the road, it's a good way to start out. And, of course, it will go ahead and pick on up. But two goals, they had to rely on Tuukka Rask, who was, again, picking up right where he left off last year. It was fantastic.
Well, Rich, what I liked about this is obviously the Bruins got the win. That's first and foremost. I thought that they were going to get out into a rough October here as they kind of get over the hangover of the Game 7 loss. They scored early. They were able to stake themselves out to a lead. They played with some momentum early. They scored on the power play. That was good. I don't like that they only generated 20 shots on net. It feels like you'd like to see them be a little more aggressive in getting to the net, but all in all, a good win in game one.
Well, we talked with a whole bunch of different people preseason, talking about hockey, and we have the first thing ever. Question always seemed to be, who's going to score beyond the first line? Look what they got last night. Brett Ritchie. Who the hell's Brett Ritchie? Turns out that it's his first game ever as a member of someone other than the Dallas Stars. He goes out and scores a goal. Look, I'm not expecting Brett Ritchie to score 30 goals this year, but Charlie Coyle with a great forecheck on that play, setting up the wrister just a minute nine in. And then, of all people, Danton Heinen scores on the power play. Interesting to see him out there on the power play because the top line wasn't really clicking last night.
Well, it was good to see the way Rask played, as Arnie said. Ritchie, you mentioned, I think 7 years in Dallas, he comes over. It's really limited moves that the Bruins made this year. Really, most of their offseason was centered around bringing back their own guys. Brett Ritchie was one of the few that they brought in, so they do get to win. Top 4-4 live from Valcor Brewing Company right here, 101.3 The Game.
Number 3.
The Giants are taking on the Vikings this week in a battle of 2-2 teams, and we're giving away or qualifying you to win a pair of Giants tickets, everyone here on site at Valcor Brewing. Man, you know what? This game fascinates me. And, it's 5:25. We're going to do kind of our rapid-fire NFL talk about which games we're excited in. This game might make my cut for game I'm most excited in. This game has so many layers to it. The Vikings' unhappiness is a story here.
Right.
What the Vikings' game plan is. How can Kirk Cousins play? Daniel Jones. This game, Saquon Barkley not ruled out. This game has a lot of layers to it. I'm actually very excited.
If I could make one bet, I know we do our picks at the end of in the last hour of the show. If I could just do one pick and drain my bank account, it'd be that the Vikings would throw the ball like 20 to 25 times. They're not going to be running it.
20 to 25 times. That's nothing. You want them to throw 50 times.
I know that, but they're not throwing it even that much. I think they've really got, you're right, maybe 25 to 30. I don't know, because they've got to open up the offense. I can't think they'd be stagnant after what Thielen said and Diggs said and the way they've been, looking on offense. And Cousins knows that he hasn't lived up to expectations. Can the Giants defense slow them down? I want to see, of course, what Jones is going to do again. No Saquon Barkley. He's officially listed as out, but I think there's going to be a better game than people think. I know that Colin picked Minnesota, I believe, in this one.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot closer game than that.
Rich, what are you thinking here? Because for me, I look at this and I say this is a classic case of maybe going one way or the other. Yeah. Matt Verderam told you and I that an hour ago. Minnesota is going to do one of two things. They're going to be on either pole. They're either going to rally around all the controversy and step up and elevate above it, and they're just going to go win and whitewash the Giants. Or they're going to stumble, and then fold and cave, and it's all going to disintegrate on them.
I think a lot of the strategy for Minnesota is going to be dictated by what they do in the first quarter. They get up 14-0. I think they're going to run the ball right down the Giants' throat. And, I mean, it's going to be difficult for Daniel Jones to come back from a two-touchdown deficit if it gets to that point. But I think I guarantee you that the Minnesota receivers who've been squawking all week are going to get some looks early. But I think a lot of it depends on how things go. If Minnesota gets up early, they're just going to hand the ball to Dalvin Cook for most of the day. And Daniel Jones is going to be forced to pass the ball pretty constantly if they get down early. So far, it's Tampa Bay and the Redskins. He's had some success, but those are two lousy defenses. Minnesota's number 5 overall in scoring defense. So if they get down early and force Daniel Jones to have to throw the ball, I think he might be in for a long day.
Arnie, what's crazy to me is that the Vikings have the classic formula, okay? They play good defense. and then they run the football. And Dalvin Cook is a guy who's one yard off the lead in rushing, tied for first in touchdowns in the NFL. Like, they have a good formula, good defense and a good running game.
Right.
I mean, but and if it were the Jets, if it were the Bengals, if it were the Bills, you'd say, hey, that's great. That's a great formula. That can take them to the playoffs. But because the Vikings have invested so much money in their passing game, $84 million guaranteed dollars in their quarterback, big contract for Diggs, big contract for Thielen, the formula doesn't work for them on the outside because they've invested in all the wrong places. If I told you that was the Jets with Luke Falk and Le'Veon Bell, you'd say, great, run the ball 100 times if you have to. But right. The Vikings have invested in the other side of the offense, and they need to make that side work.
You said it when they invested in the wrong people. That would be Kirk Cousins. Is he going to go ahead and be able to go ahead and be a quarterback that will take him to the playoffs at 2-2 right now? I kind of think this is a must victory. They don't want to fall to 2-3 and have to climb themselves out of a little bit of a hole. I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed in them. Was when I looked at the division, I thought maybe the Bears would take a step backwards, and I really didn't have a lot of belief in Detroit. So that left the Green Bay Packers, and of course they were coming off a difficult year. I thought this was going to be Minnesota's division to take, and it still very well be. But it's got to start with a win over the Giants. You know, when you win, you've got to win these games when you're favored and you're on the road. This is why you win the division, because you're able to go ahead and win on the road when you're a slight favorite instead of losing to those teams that are playing at home.
I thought the defense was going to be able to help carry Minnesota. So far, they're doing their part. The offense now has to do its part. I also picked Minnesota to win the division in the preseason. If they're going to, you're right, Arnie, they do need to step up in this one. Top 4-4 in the huddle, live from Valcor Brewing right here, 101.3 The Game.
Number 2.
The Patriots are taking on the Redskins on Sunday in Washington. This game really doesn't even feel interesting. However, it does have some interesting components to me. One, can the Patriots overcome injury? Two, can the Patriots establish the run? Three, can they utilize this as a get-right game to get Josh Gordon more touches, to get the run game going? Can they figure out some more continuity in the offensive line? And then from the Redskins side of things, does Jay Gruden keep his job? Does he lose it instantly? Does he get fired at halftime because they're getting beat 58-0 at the half? Yeah. I don't even know.
Let me know after the game, because I don't want to watch. I'm going to pull a Rich. I don't want to watch this game. I've got no interest in it. I may put it on my phone and just check in on the score every once in a while. But I don't see this one even going to be close. I could care less. Fire Gruden, because he's going to get fired anyway. Even if he somehow kept this game close, he's not going to go ahead and save his job. Can they get the ball to Gordon? I should hope so. You get the ball to anybody when you're playing the Redskins. And then when you're up by 21 points, get the ball to whoever you get. Let Belichick run a few plays. It makes no difference. This game's already over. I think the Patriots are up 14-0 in this game. Oh, they just made a field goal. It's 17-0. Game hasn't even started yet. This game's over, Rich. Forget about it. Don't even have to watch it.
Yeah, I like you said, Brady, this is a get-right game. I love that term. And I would like to see him get Josh Gordon going a little bit, but I'm not sure the game is going to be predicated by a lot of passing. I really believe if the Patriots can run the ball effectively, that's going to really, really solve a lot of problems. And if there was ever a game where they should be able to run the ball, because I suspect, as Arnie said, it's 17-0 before they even start.
Yeah, you exactly.
I mean, look what Seattle did last night. I think they ran the ball 43 times in that game, and they ended up winning the game. I would love to see the Patriots run the ball down their throats and win the game easily, get an early lead, and establish that running game, because they've got to have it if they're going anywhere.
And you'd like to think the Patriots would like to run the football, because if there's one thing Washington has in its pocket, is a secondary that's halfway competent. Yep. Landon Collins is good in the back end, and Josh Norman is a guy they're paying to be good on the outside as well. So if there's one thing, you can look at this and say, what can Washington do to make life tough for the Patriots? I would have to imagine it would be in the passing game. It would be with that secondary. And if they see that on film as well, then maybe they are able to expose the Washington front seven and just run the ball.
The only controversy I know is when they pull Brady, are they going to bring in Stidham or Kessler? I don't know. Yeah, whoever's
Kessler.
Active. I don't even know. I don't even know who they're going to bring in. That's the only controversy I know.
Well, we'll be watching that game at the Burger Bar in Colchester on Sunday. We're looking forward to that as well. 1 p.m. Come hang out with us. Great food, great drinks, specials. Shinerbach beer is on special $2.50. So now we're live at Valcor Brewing. That's Sunday. Now we're live at Valcor.
Yes.
And it is the top 4-4, 101.3 The Game.
Number one.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
No, it isn't. It's not. Look,
it's playoff baseball,
baby. It is playoff
baby.
Baseball, but look, Dodgers raised nothing for me. Matter of fact, that one's already 4-0.
The Astros and Rays. At least get the
Dodgers,
league's
Astros raised. Excuse me. Dodger game, though, I was really all into. Even though it was a 6-0 one, I just loved the atmosphere in Los Angeles. I love Chavez Ravine. I love the pitching staff out there. I enjoyed the Cardinal-Braves game, and that wasn't even a pitching duel out there. I'm okay with the Yankees-Minnesota, but not as much as the other two series. I enjoy it, but this is a snoozer between the Astros and the Rays.
Remember when you tell us, I'm from the Bronx, New York.
Yes.
I'm from the Bronx, New York. You're supposed to be in on this one.
I know that, but I'm a Met fan. I don't know what happened to me.
Yankees-Twins tonight, 6:25 on our sister station, WVMT. It's Jose Berríos against James Paxton. This is why the Yankees got this guy. This is why they went out and traded the top pitching prospect in their organization, why they traded among the top outfield prospects in their organization, why they traded another highly touted pitching prospect to get this guy for these moments. James Paxton, 98, 99 miles an hour, good little cutter slider, good curveball that he's used more in the second half of the season, the guy who has the ability to overpower another lineup. But, Rich, this Twins lineup is hard to be overpowered. They don't strike out, and they hit a lot of home runs, second most ever in baseball history.
It's just ridiculous. Looking at the starting lineup, it's just littered with guys hitting 30 and 40 home runs up and down the lineup, including the catcher, Garver, who leads off, who hit 31 home runs. I mean, how often do you see a catcher with 31 home runs leading off in a playoff game? This is a big one for the Yankees. I think the pressure's on New York a lot more than Minnesota tonight. They've got their ace going. They're at home. The crowd's going to be pumped. They really need to win this game, keep home field advantage, because who knows what Tanaka's going to give you tomorrow. Severino, it's so hard to tell. He had two great starts to finish the season, and you have to feel good about that. But heading into Minnesota Monday, you don't know what you're getting there. I think Paxton is under some pressure, but I think he's up for the challenge tonight.
You know, usually on the Top Fair Tire text line, we hear from a lot of Yankee fans. I mean, matter of fact, you don't talk enough Yankees. We go to parties. You don't bring up enough Yankees. I don't see them. Are they nervous today, or they just feel like this is a foregone conclusion? We've already beat the Minnesota Twins. I would think they're a little nervous for this one.
That's because all the Yankee fans on the Top Fair Tire text line are currently here
in
the building.
That's true. We got that
guy in the Yankee shirt, so the Yankee fans are here with us. We got Scott in Plattsburgh.
Scott in Plattsburgh got his Yankee hat on.
The Yankee fans are all here hanging out with us in person.
But the funny part is he had a Red Sox hat on last year, so
yeah, and it's good. The Yankee fans are day drinking, getting ready for playoffs, so it's good. So Yanks are getting ready. Paxton is the guy. I love Paxton. I hope his emotions are able to be kept in check. I hope that he's able to. The biggest key is for him to get going early. When James Paxton gets into a rhythm, he is one of the best finishers in baseball. If you can get to him early in your Minnesota, then that's what you want to do, because I think once he gets going and once he gets established, it's going to be awfully tough.
Lots on the Town Fair Tire text line. Ram fan Ralph, who is here, still texting. Beer is great. Tell Grandpa Haskell I'm having one for him.
That's lovely.
So,
thanks, Ralph. Such a way.
I got to tell you, people are having a good time out here. You really got to come out to Valcor Brewing Company here in Plattsburgh if you're on the Plattsburgh side. Heck, if you're even in Vermont, take the ferry over. And come on by and say, oh, we're having a blast out here.
I'm told that Jason in Plattsburgh, who's talked all the trash to me for a year, bailed on my podcast. I'm told he's on his way.
Wow!
And he's going to actually show up. We'll see if he does, but I'm told he's on his way.
Now, Brady may stay here after the show because Steve in Plattsburgh said, since you guys are here already, you should go to the Beekmantown football game tonight. Homecoming at 7:30. You may do that, Brady.
I have to take you home.
I'll have intern Nick just drive me to the ferry, and I'll take that across. Sales guy.
By the way, speaking of sales guys, do you want to apologize? Because yesterday you were throwing a tizzy about how you didn't get your stupid
jacket.
Yes,
I did. Yes, I did.
The sales staff brought it back after 6 o'clock.
They said it was going to be there at 6. It showed up at 6:03. I was gone by then. When you say 6, that's not 6:03. I run a tight ship, Brady. I've got to lay down the law. You're 3 minutes. Guess what? When I say we're doing the show from 3 to 6, I don't show up at 3:04, do I? I make sure I'm at 3. Exactly. Well, so there you go.
I got your stupid jackets.
Yes.
And they've been given to
you.
They are nice.
They're very nice.
I wish I had one myself now, actually.
Yes, they're very nice. So I want to thank the whole sales crew for getting my jackets and bringing them back. Yeah. We're live at Valcor Brewing Company. Yes, Rich.
Arnie was in rare form yesterday, Brady. I have never heard so much whining about insignificant life events as he was yesterday.
And it's like, what's nuts is that
it's like he makes this stuff up. Well, what can I bitch about today?
He said that he wanted his jacket so that he could wear them for the remote today. Why, number one, I couldn't just bring it to him now and give it to him? No, he needed to model it for everybody beforehand, and he's not even wearing them now.
Let me tell you something. I was so upset about not getting my jacket. I went to meet with the owner today. I was so upset. I'm not kidding around. That's how petty I was. I don't know why. Big things, I don't know. I should just shrug off the small things. I'm like, I want my jacket. Had to meet with the owner today about my jacket.
Unreal.
Unbelievable. All right, so come on out. Having a blast out of your Valcor Brewing Company. Actually, a great time. It's pretty full, but still, you can get some of the tables out there. The bar's filling up. A lot of people checking me out. That's what I love. 802-655-6672 if you want to get in the Town Fair Tire text line. Brady, what's coming up next?
We'll get you ready again. Game one, ALDS. What do you want to see from James Paxton tonight, Yankee fans?
All right, let's hear from the Yankee fans on that. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Go, boys. Get it out there and score.
The huddle.
When you take over a team, sometimes you want to make your mark.
Finally got a scoop after all the years of doing this show.
Not extending a 42-year-old quarterback probably is the best.
The huddle. Break. Weekdays from 3 to 6 on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Live on this Friday, Valcor Brewing Company out in Plattsburgh. Come on by. We're going to be here until 6 o'clock. Great crowd out here.
This is what Vermont is missing, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, what?
Happy hour. Like this wouldn't happen in Vermont, where we got people out here at 3 o'clock on a Friday, 4 o'clock on a Friday. This place is full at 4:30, and these people are like three beers deep already.
I thought it was because of happy hour, because I'm here.
That's not true.
Oh, wow.
Where is this in Vermont? I want all of these people's ability to get out of work on Friday and go drinking at 3
o'clock. But why, instead of happy hour, why can't you just call it like lappy hour or something like that? Why can't you just change a letter and just, you know, call it something stupid and everybody knows what the hell you're talking about
I don't know. Maybe the Department of Liquor or whatever those departments are called. Maybe they have something to say about it. I don't know.
I can assure you happy hour used to be very happy in this town.
Yes.
The days of the dime draft Tuesdays and the nickel draft Wednesdays, and that didn't really go that well for a lot of the clients, shall we say.
Oh, I can imagine
By the way, some of our listeners want to know if you are like Antonio Brown throwing a tizzy over a jacket.
A little bit. I can see that. I can see that comparison.
Speaking of that, before we get to the Yankees here, which we'll get to in a second. Did you read the story about Antonio Brown's deposition?
No.
Rich, did you see that?
I did not.
So, okay. Antonio Brown had a deposition for, remember, he had the reportedly destroyed his condo that he lived in 2018. So he was at the deposition with the, you know, with the with his defense attorney, with the plaintiff, and with the prosecution's attorney. So they're doing the deposition, and they said that it was so bad, that it went so horribly, that they are now trying to put the video out for the trial of the deposition because they want it used against him.
He showed
up a half hour late.
Right.
He was chanting and singing during the deposition. He then was texting during the deposition. His legal counsel had to ask for a recess so that they could go and talk him down into proper behavior. He continued to be bad, and then all of a sudden started looking at the clock and saying, okay, 5-minute countdown till we're leaving. And he would just go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So this is what he was doing at the deposition. Now the prosecution wants to put that video in the record for the trial because he was just so bad they want to use it against him.
Is this somebody that's just is entitled? Is this somebody doesn't know how to act? Is this guy doesn't have reality to life? All the above. I don't even want to blame it on a hit because you don't act like this. This guy is just short of reality. He's just never had to deal with anything so far.
Rich, they said that he acted like he was above the law and the law didn't apply to him.
Oh, that's shocking.
Don't you hear stuff like that and wonder if something a little more deeper, a little more serious is going on here? I mean, that just doesn't seem normal to me. And look, I understand if there's anyone who doesn't seem normal at any point, it's Antonio Brown. But this stuff sounds kind of serious to me when you see him acting like that.
You can't look. If there, I know the default answer is, oh, maybe he has CTE.
That's an excuse.
I'm just saying, no matter what he's got, you can't act like this. I'm sorry. I'm not going to excuse this, whether he has something or whether he doesn't have something. This is not normal behavior. And if there's something else causing the not normal behavior, I'd like to medically get to the bottom of it. But I haven't been presented with those facts yet. So right now, I just have to assume that this is the way Antonio Brown is. And from everything we have heard, he has been wired this way for years. It goes back to the Robert Klemko article from Sports Illustrated.
You know, every one of his teammates says that he's a great teammate. But then again, if he knows how to act in front of his teammates, you have to think that he's doing this on purpose. You can't turn a switch on and off and say, I know how to behave in front of Bill Belichick and the Patriots, but I don't know how to behave in front of law enforcement. I'm not buying that.
Now, that's actually a very good point, Arnie. You're right that he does seem to, in the right situation, be able to act okay. But, I mean, when I read this, it was the Yahoo Sports article, and we've got kind of a transcription of it on 1013thegame.com. It painted the picture, again, of a guy who believes the rules don't apply to him. All right, now I do want to get to baseball.
All right, let's get to baseball.
802-655-6672. Yankees tonight taking on the Twins. And I'll just start with this. James Paxton on the mound tonight. Rich, if I'm a Yankee fan, what I want to see from Paxton is somebody who gets ahead in the count early. It is all about, for me, filling up the strike zone and doing it early in the game. When James Paxton gets into trouble, it's when it takes him 24 pitches to get through the first inning.
Right.
It takes him 26 pitches to then get through the second. And the pitch count is elevated, and he can't put people away. I want to see him ahead of the count, being aggressive, utilizing all his pitches. Look, that's the recipe for all pitchers in all games, but it really rings true for Paxton tonight.
Well, I don't know how much momentum carries into the playoffs, but this is absolutely the guy you want on the mound. I mean, he's been the Yankees were 20-9 in games he started this year, and he's been really, really good the last 2 months of the season. I think he had an ERA just over 2.5. And he's been using that curveball a lot. He started focusing on that midseason. He's been really good. Any concern you have about the fact that he left in the first inning in his last start because he had some soreness in I guess it was his left glute muscle? MRI said he was fine, but you kind of wonder going in. It was his last start.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I don't know if there's going to be, you know, if that's going to be much of a problem. Brady, do you look into history, too? My current boss at Fox put this out. He's a big Minnesota Twins fan. Since 2003, the postseason, the Twins-Yankees, Minnesota has 2 wins, Yankees 13.
Yep.
Minnesota bats less than 200 with runners in scoring position, Yankees almost 300. ERA starting pitchers, 5.63 for the Twins, 2.72. If history has anything to say with this, it's all New York Yankees, the Minnesota Twins on unprecedented territory here.
Yeah, history means nothing.
Is that coincidence? Because none of these guys had anything to do with that. I'm sure there's a couple of guys in these two teams involved in the 8-4 Yankee comeback win in the wild card game, but that was in 2017. I look at all this history, and it is significant in as far as historical sense. I mean, the Yankees beat the Twins in the ALDS in 03, 04, 09, 2010. I mean, after a while, you do start to wonder, but these guys didn't have anything to do with any of those games.
Look, it's significant for Twins fans. It's significant for Twins management. It's significant for Twins ownership.
Like Cup fans were for a long time.
This doesn't fall on these players, I don't believe. I mean, come on. Look, you're right, Rich. Back in 2017, the Twins got up in that game, I want to say, 4-0 in the first inning against Luis Severino, and then lost at 8-4. And it was Didi Gregorius who had a big blast there early to get the Yankees back into it. But as far as this goes, history means nothing to me. For Paxton, I'm just so excited to see how it plays out because Paxton is a guy who gets a lot of strikeouts. He has the ability to go off for 8, 9, 10 strikeouts in any one game with his repertoire of pitches and his velocity. The Twins do not K. They have the second lowest strikeout percentage in the playoff field behind only the Astros. And Arnie, you brought this point up earlier in the week, and as I continue to do research on it, it's a real thing. The Twins make contact. They grind at bats, and they do not strike out. What will Paxton do if they are grinding out those at bats and making long innings? How long can he last? I don't know.
Yeah, but then again, if there's runners on, you want them to put the ball in play. It sets up some good double plays, sets up some easy outs if you do that. Sure, you'd love to get the strikeout, but as you mentioned, they're not going to strike out a lot.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how many they can put out of Yankee Stadium, though. That's not the hardest place to put balls out there.
That's the strangest stat you just mentioned, Brady, and I wasn't aware of it. How can a team that hit over 300 home runs, historical amount of home runs this year, have the second fewest strikeouts? In this day and age with baseball of all or nothing at home plate, that's a shocking stat to me.
Well, second fewest strikeouts in the playoff field. I have to imagine, though, that they're up there in the course of baseball, too, because you wouldn't be so good if you were Kang. You know what I mean? So I got to imagine that they're pretty high up there no matter what. But for Yankee fans who are just really figuring out who the Twins are, yes, they hit a lot of home runs, and they hit them everywhere. Rich, you've talked about six guys or five guys over 30 home runs, and a lot of guys you've never heard of, from Mitch Garver, the catcher, to Max Kepler, who was born in Germany as one of the better power hitters in baseball, to Eddie Rosario, a guy no one's ever heard of, to Jonathan Scope, who used to play for the Orioles, to Polanco, the shortstop. I mean, there's just a lot of people that no one's ever heard of. I mean, Nelson Cruz is kind of the only guy that brings a household name here.
And you look at that pitching staff, too. Who? I mean, Berríos, to a point, I guess if you're really into baseball around New England, you may have heard of him because he's had some success over the last couple of years, basically, as the ace of the staff. And Jake Odorizzi, maybe Sox and Yankees fans know him from his days in Tampa Bay for a couple of years. But beyond that, I mean, I'd never even heard of their closer, and the kid had 30 saves this year.
Yeah, Taylor Rogers, Trevor May. I mean, there's just not a whole lot down there that people have, that the average fan has heard of. All right, Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. We'll do more baseball with Buster Olney, who will stop on by at 5 o'clock with us. Rich, your Bruins won last night.
Yes, they did.
2-1, so that was a good win on opening night, and I got to say, it surprised me. I thought the Bees were going to start off slow.
Yeah, they sure didn't start off slow. In fact, it's a good thing they didn't, because both the goals they scored were within the first 6 minutes of the first period. I thought Ben Bishop, as you said, last hour had a rough game. I thought he should have had both of those, and I've never... Brett Ritchie, speaking of people I've never heard of...
Yeah.
Apparently, he's been a lifelong Dallas star until last night. He didn't even know he was going to be in the lineup last night, but a great forecheck by Charlie Coyle. And how important are turnovers in the other team's end? Set up Brett Ritchie for his first of the year. I bet you he doesn't score more than five more the whole season. And then Danton Heinen with another goal I thought Bishop could have grabbed 5 minutes later. They were up 2-0. Didn't get much offense going after that. Dallas completely outplayed him in the second period, but Tuca was up to the task.
I guess Jack Edwards getting a little bit of heat from yesterday, right, Brady?
Yeah.
One of the star players.
Roman Polak.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You can tell the story.
He was coming in behind a Bruin player. It looked like he was going to push the Bruin player into the board. The Bruin player turned suddenly right. He went into the boards, and they said, well, that's a little bit of hockey karma. And I guess he took a lot of grief about that on Twitter, kind of insinuating like, hey, that's what you get for trying to commit a dirty play on the other team.
I get what he was trying to say. I actually didn't find it that egregious.
You didn't find it that bad?
But no. Jack Edwards, well, you shouldn't say it. Jack Edwards does appear to be a big homer, and he's, we talk about homer broadcaster. Jack Edwards is one of the biggest homers that there are. I get what he was going for in saying that it's hockey karma, that if you're going to have a play that is with the intent to injure or do harm, then that's what you get.
Right.
But it's still not something you should say, because it comes off as if you were rooting or gloating about the
and
other
team. And that was a serious injury that they had to take him off from, Rich. That was a serious injury.
Yeah, well, he's fine, but it looked bad. They were just being careful. And when you whenever you bring the stretcher out, you assume the worst, and he's going to be fine. Apparently, he's going to be ready to play again soon. And it was interesting, because Andy Brickley also had something to say, but he was a little more subtle about it. He called the injury self-induced, which is a little kinder way of saying things.
Right. I thought that maybe they're there to describe the action. You can't see the action, and, maybe, that's the way they had to do it. But I got to tell you, I think there's a bad choice of words there, especially when he's lying on the ground. It could get, very heated at that point.
Aaron, I have to ask you a question here.
Yes, sir.
Intern Aaron.
So sometimes our text line goes haywire and brings up texts from months ago or years ago. We just see a text here that comes in from March 15th, and you just responded to it. Tell me you're not responding to messages that are 6 months
old,
thinking they're today.
Yes.
What I just responded to was an Antonio Brown tweet or a text.
Okay.
It might have shown up as the wrong thing.
I see Shane in Plattsburgh, who goes, Bob Emery is a staple of the Plattsburgh State program, brought numerous NCAA championships to Plattsburgh, and will be tough to replace. That was on March 15th, and I see you wrote back today. That is absolutely believable.
I was trying to respond to his Antonio Brown text from today.
Jeez, okay. I love it.
I thought Aaron was responding to messages that were months and years old.
Yeah, okay. Rich,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Rich, tell everybody where you're going to be on Saturday, my friend.
Oh, I'm going to be out at the Champlain Valley Fair is where I'm going to be. We're going to have some fun out there tomorrow. This is actually going to be a really good time. Hair of the dog for those of you going out and going crazy tonight, because we are having a Best Bloody Mary contest. 13 of the vendors from all over the place around the Champlain Valley, from the bars and restaurants that you've probably had Bloody Marys at over the weekend, are going to be competing. So come on out. We're going to be raising some money for a very good cause. Our friend Vince is very much involved in this. Vince, the serial texter, out at the fairgrounds tomorrow from 11 till 2. It's the New England Hemophilia Association. So we'd love to see everybody come out and try some Bloody Marys.
All right, so have fun. Rich is going to be out there, and it's always going to be a good time. Tom for a Tire, text line 802-655-6672. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, Patriots. Yesterday we told you about Stephon Diggs maybe being a fit in New England. Nah, that's not so likely. But could this guy be a fit for the Pats?
That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Arnie.
No doubt I look like I'm 35. I look younger than everybody here.
Rich.
The light on the top of Arnie's head is a distraction.
Brady.
Oh, I see what that is. That's the Twitch stream talking to me in the background because I was playing Twitch there. So now I got to mute this. There's a lot of stuff. What?
It's the Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game on a Friday, live at Valcor Brewing Company out here in Plattsburgh. Come on by. We'll be here till 6. A whole lot of people are out here, Brady. Pretty good crowd. I love it.
A lot of people here. This bar is full. There's still some room in the dining-only area. I just walked back to the back, and I looked at the – I love looking at, like, brewery.
Right,
like,
right.
At the beer tanks that they have. These things are awesome. And it's such a cool vibe because it's an old – military barrack that they've converted into this really long brewery and restaurant. Really, really cool. I'm looking at the beer list. Copper Nails beer. Okay. Smooth caramel and nutty flavor balanced with East Kent Golding and Wilmalette hops. I don't know what that means.
But sounds good.
I know that I like it. When you put in smooth caramel and nutty into beer, those three adjectives are things that I want, Rich.
Yeah, it's going to take me a while to digest what you just said. That's a lot. That's a mouthful right there. You should really try that at, like, I don't know, 6:01.
Rich, I'll tell you this, too, that somebody here would have been your best friend because a guy came in and goes, do you have Bud Light here?
Oh, jeez.
I cannot tell you how stupid I feel. And I tell the bartender when I walk into these foofy places, and I tell the bartender, I say, look, I know you've heard this before, and I'm just going to lay it out for you. I want to know what I can drink that's the closest thing to Bud. And if looks could kill, I'd be 6 feet under.
Well, don't call them foofy. This is not foofy. This is not like I know the foofy breweries you're talking about. No, this is just a cool. This is just a cool bar and restaurant feel.
I'm not in the foofy, and this is not foofy. I love this place.
I always thought of Arnie as foofy. So hey, is it on the old Air Force Base? Is that where it's located?
It's not on the old Air Force Base, but there's a big old airplane out here nearby. So we're very, very close to that area.
Yeah,
so
it's
been a lot of fun.
They've done an awesome job with that because when the base closed down, what was it, 20 years ago, everybody predicted the demise of the entire city of Plattsburgh, and they've done a fantastic job renovating that and turning it into a big business hub.
I love it. It was unique. I took a picture, put it up on Twitter, so I thought it was pretty cool. I loved it.
So yesterday, let's move over to the NFL here before we get to hour two. Remember, Buster Olney is going to join us in about 15 minutes. The Patriots, yesterday we talked about the idea of Stephon Diggs. We all kind of agreed that if you're going to spend big money, it shouldn't be at the wide receiver position to go out and make a trade there. Patriots don't have a lot of money. What do you think about another trade? What do you think about Emmanuel Sanders of the Broncos possibly being a fit for New England? The Patriots tried to sign Emmanuel Sanders a number of years ago, but Pittsburgh ended up bringing him back as a restricted free agent. This is a deal I can get more behind. Emmanuel Sanders right now.
Give me the numbers. Give me the numbers.
He's making $10.5 million, but he's a free agent after the year. So you're not into a long-term commitment. He's 32 years old. It's a prorated salary because he's already played 4 games for Denver. So you're not on the hook for a full $10.5 there. Because he's a free agent, he probably won't cost you a huge draft pick to go get, I don't know, fourth rounder maybe, for not a ton of money, for with no commitment beyond this year for probably not a big draft pick, this is the kind of guy I'd go after.
You know, first of all, are you sure that the Patriots need one? I said this before the season. I was getting ripped. Remember when all the people that were ripping me about, what are you talking about? They've got great wide receivers, and now all of a sudden we're four games in and we're panicking about who should be the next wide receiver, talking about Diggs and Sanders and Antonio Brown. And, you know, I wonder if this is the ramifications of what happens when you have to let Antonio Brown go. But I don't know if I want to bring Emmanuel Sanders in. I do like the contract that has 1 year left. It is a little pricey. I guess I give up a fourth-round pick, not feel so bad about it. What's up with N'Keal Harry? What's going on there, Brady? I mean, I'm starting to say, look, I don't have a lot of patience. I think they took the wrong rookie wide receiver when it's all said and done. I gave you a list of three or four I think I wanted them to take at the draft back then, and, you know, it's not looking good now.
Rich, just please remind Arnie about N'Keal Harry here, that you've got four players on the IR.
Right,
you can only bring back
two.
So
right.
I might not be able to bring back N'Keal Harry. So if I can't bring him back, then I do need a wide receiver. And look, the show is today.
I've never heard of a number one draft pick that's a wide receiver or running back or quarterback that could be healthy that you could bring back and that you're not going to bring back.
When my fullback who powers my run game and my left tackle who powers my run game and protects Tom Brady are the other two options, I might have to bring them back more than a guy who's going to be my third wide receiver. Rich, I'd do this move for Sanders if they could make it work money-wise. Again, not a huge cost when it comes to draft capital. And the show is today. A month ago, we felt different about the wide receiver group. Now, we're looking at three receivers we feel confident in and then a bunch of question marks.
Yeah, and I think it's important looking ahead, too, on the IR because I agree with you. I don't think N'Keal Harry's going to play anymore for this team this year. I think he's going to start next year. But, I mean, you obviously, if you're bringing two guys back on the IR when they get healthy, Isaiah Wynn absolutely has to be one of them. And the word is out, and I agree with him, James Devlin has to be that other guy. I really think it has to be. And it was interesting with Sanders because I thought he was kind of washed up. I hadn't heard much about him. And, you know, and he is playing for an 0-4 team that's looked terrible, but he's got 23 catches for 300 yards. And, I mean, he had an 11-catch game in week two. He had over 100 yards last week. So he's still a viable option.
Yes, the show's today, but do you have to go out and make a move like this? Is it desperate time? I don't know if you consider Emmanuel Sanders desperate, Brady, but sounds like you're, you know, not that you are, but some of the, you know, the Patriots are kind of grasping at straws right now because they seem a little panicked. Maybe they know something that they're not releasing to the rest of us.
Well, look, they went after Antonio Brown for a reason, okay? They've gone after a receiver before. They felt they needed one. Now you're going to say, well, Antonio Brown was so good that even if he didn't need one, I'll go get him anyways. But
I'll give you a prediction already. We won't know until April. Patriots will take another receiver in the first round next year, too. I promise you that. Go ahead. But anyway.
They do need a receiver, a guy that can be reliable in addition to Edelman and Gordon. Edelman's been banged up now. Gordon's been banged up now. You're trying to compete a potential track meet with the Chiefs down the line. You're going to need some more offense there. I still think the Patriots need to bring back Devlin and Wynn more than Harry, which is why I'm with Rich. I don't think you'll see him. Last year, they tried to trade for Demaryius Thomas. They tried to trade for Golden Tate. They didn't get any of those guys. So they were looking at wide receiver help last year at the deadline, and I think they're going to be looking there again.
You guys,
and Jay Glazer of The Athletic and Fox Sports, he wrote about it today, too, and said the same thing.
You guys promised me, though. Oh, Josh Gordon, man. Yeah, we love this guy. Even before the Antonio Brown thing, he's a big addition to the team, and that's all we really need. And not that all we really need, but, you know, that solidifies the wide receiver core. Anything far from the truth on that right now. No, I'm a little disappointed.
Josh Gordon is a good piece to the offense.
Right.
He is not the entire offense, and that's what I said from the start.
All right. Where are you going to go ahead and be on Sunday watching the game, though, Mike?
Well, we'll be watching Patriots-Redskins, and hopefully it's a stress-free Patriots blowout.
Oh,
we can watch it together out at the Burger Bar in Colchester. We will be there starting at 12:45. The kickoff is at 1 o'clock. We're giving away Patriot ticket qualifiers. We're getting a bunch of ticket qualifiers there. Shinerbach beers on special for $2.50. Great wings. I had Burger Bar wings last night for the Seahawk game.
Yes, you did.
I picked them up after Orange Theory. I did Orange Theory and then went and got Korean barbecue wings. So it was an extra great night for me. So that was fun. And we'll also be giving away a ton of prizes from Shinerbach beer. Last week we gave away a snowboard, so I can't wait to see what I got to give away on Sunday.
I love it, man. All kinds of great stuff. Go out and see Brady. That's going to be Sunday at the Burger Bar in Colchester. And, of course, Shinerbach beer, just $2.50, always great wings and stuff like that. All right, 2 hours. I can't believe it. Just flew on by. 2 hours are in the books. The Power Hour is coming up next. Brady will tell you what's trending. Then we'll get you ready for the Power Hour. We'll start things off with Buster Olney. All that's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Join the conversation now and be part of the show.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for taking the call.
at 802-655-6672.
Right.
It's The Huddle with Arnie, Rich, and Brady on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle. 101.3 The Game. It is the power hour of the show, mere moments away from a special edition of Buster Only, thanks to our friends at Lucky's Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont. So we'll get a hold of Buster in just a second. Got a lot of baseball to talk about, so it will be a strong power hour of the show.
Well, looking forward to talking to Buster because I really want to find out about how Aaron Boone's going to deploy his lineup. He's going to have to get creative. They got so many guys with so much power that are so one-dimensional in what they do defensively. I mean, how does Encarnacion fit in with Voit, with Stanton? Are they going to sacrifice defense to get more offense? Are they going to sacrifice speed to get more offense? Stanton's going to play the outfield tonight, Encarnacion the DH. That's what I would do as well, but I don't consider Stanton to be a premium outfielder. So if you're going to play with Brett Gardner and with Aaron Judge and with Giancarlo Stanton in the outfield, I don't know that you're playing with a great outfield there. And I think that could be something that could hurt the Yankees in this series.
I was going to say, some of the guys that are coming back for the Yankees, what kind of numbers are they going to put up? Are they going to be feared? Or is Minnesota going to say, look, you've been out for so much and so long, you don't fear me whatsoever, and I'm just coming right after you, which is the approach I think I would have if I'm Minnesota.
I mean, I think the Yankees hitters are feared because of how much power they have. I don't think Giancarlo Stanton, whether he's played 162 or 1.62 games of the season, is a guy you
look at. You don't
think
it makes a little bit of a difference? You're saying that you wouldn't challenge him? The fact that he doesn't have a lot of a lot of bats under his belt.
Well, I think they're going to challenge him because what else can you really do? Well, you can't really hide from this Yankees lineup because there's just so much depth to it. And they can do so much and can put so much damage everywhere. But Encarnacion, good. Voit off the bench potentially can be really, really good. It all starts, Torres is the guy who I think makes the engine drive for the Yankees right now. Torres and Judge, they are the guys carrying this lineup, and I think they'll continue to throughout the playoffs. But when we talk about Stanton, when we talk about Encarnacion, Voit off the bench, they got a lot of pieces there that can hit for some power.
By the way, it's Anthony that doesn't like me, right?
Anthony? Yes, Anthony hates you.
Okay, he says, regarding Arnie's, I told you so on the receivers, Arnie's a pompous gas bag, I promise you that. Well, I can't, even when I get one right, I don't even get credit for that, Rich. That's unbelievable, even if I get one right.
Pompous gas bag. That's got to be the name of a rock and roll band. That's awesome.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'd like Anthony to do picks against me, but I'm doing so terrible I shouldn't even say that because I'm absolutely horrible.
I think you're 3-9.
Yeah, worse than that. I don't even know.
No, you're 3-9.
Am I 3-9?
You are. Yeah, you're two games into last place just ahead of, me.
One of my picks is going to be the baseball game. Oh, no, we can only do football. Yeah. My bad there. We're going to do that.
And we're going to be giving our NFL picks for the weekend at 5:45 inside the 4-minute football thing. We'll also be doing kind of our rapid-fire NFL preview at 5:25 once we talk with Buster. It was interesting. Buster's been getting pulled in so many directions. We usually talk to him on Wednesday, but he had to do stuff for Baseball Tonight podcast. He's out in Oakland the other day. He's at Yankee Stadium today. He's been traveling, so that's why we had to put Buster on Friday at 5 o'clock. But it's a good Friday. You know, look, you don't get a lot of Fridays we get to talk to Buster Olney.
I like this one from James. Finally, someone's sticking up for him, but we'll get to that later on. Let's go ahead and introduce our guest as he joins us every week. Thanks to our friends at Lucky's Trailer Sales in Peterbilt, Vermont. It's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
Doing great, guys. On the field at Yankee Stadium. Twins are taking batting practice right now and, gearing up for the division series, getting fired up about it.
That's great. That's awesome. Live at Yankee Stadium. Give us a weather report. Is the weather going to be a factor? Will it affect the home runs? What's going on, Buster?
The weather's beautiful. Not much in the way of any rain threat from what I understand. It is got a little fall, a little bit of wind. But with these two teams, I don't think the wind matters because you're going to probably see a lot of home runs. Number one and number two in baseball and home runs. It should be a really interesting series.
Buster. Yeah, Buster, Go ahead, Rich.
No, I was just going to say, obviously, power is going to be a huge part of this series, Buster. I mean, you've got the two best-hitting home run teams literally of all time, statistically. But can power really win in the playoffs consistently as you see it?
I think in the end, I mean, to your point, your underlying point that in the postseason, especially when teams get more disciplined in following scouting reports, ultimately, it comes down to pitching, right? And who can have the most dominant pitching, which is why I'm fascinated tonight. The Yankees are starting James Paxton, left-hander. No team in baseball mashes left-handers better than the Twins. You know, during the year, an 872 team OPS. And because of that, and because it feels like managers really search for the best matchups in the postseason, I would not at all be surprised to see Aaron Boone manage really aggressively with a bullpen, because they've got a ton of right-handed options out in their bullpen, and that might be the way for them to go. On the Twins side, you know, they'll do similar things, where I think every game, it's just each of the managers will be looking for the best possible matchups.
You know, Buster, this has been the year of the home run. We talk about all the power on both of these rosters, but at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of people are talking about the Nationals, the Dodgers, and the Astros, and what do they all have in common is that they all have a big three starting pitching. So do you still believe that in the year of the home run, it is going to come down to pitching in October?
I think it will come down to pitching, but I think that old model of, having big three in the rotation doesn't necessarily apply anymore. I think it's a big advantage for sure, but I think in the end, you know, a lot of it, I mean, we saw the Kansas City Royals basically win the World Series in 2015 with a mediocre rotation and a great bullpen. Last year, you felt more like the Red Sox were about a couple of starters, not necessarily dominant starters, but a couple of starters and then some great relief outings. The year before, you saw A.J. Hinch, the Astros manager, blow up his bullpen, restructure it, use his starting pitchers more in relief roles. So I think that part of it's fluid. You know, the old standby days where your starters throw 90% of the innings, those are gone. I mean, we saw that in the American League wildcard game where both teams are liberally calling on relievers, and I think you're going to see that in this series as well.
Buster Olney of ESPN joins us usually on Wednesdays at 5, but a special Friday edition, all thanks to Lucky Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont. Buster, a lot of Yankee fans didn't watch a whole lot of Twins games this year. Aside from all the power that the Twins possess, educate the Yankee fans on what made the Twins so good.
Athleticism. Great core. You know, I just came out of the interview room, and then I asked Elsie Cruz the question, what were your first impressions of the Twins when you arrived? And he said, you know, you've seen teams in recent years, and he mentioned the Astros, he mentioned the Dodgers. He said those teams had these great young core of players just waiting to put it all together, and he said that's what this team was ready for. So when you got an Eddie Rosario, you know, terrific outfielder for them, Jorge Polanco, their shortstop, Mitch Garver, their catcher, who, you know, probably one of the 30 home run hitters that no one knows about, you know, who's going to lead off for them in tonight's game. They have a lot of really good young players, and Rocco Baldelli, their manager, came over from the Tampa Bay Rays, you know, a team that is seen as perhaps the most analytically advanced. And I think he's used a lot of his knowledge and applied it to this team, and they've absolutely taken off. It's just a shame that Byron Buxton, who may have been as good as any of the young players they had, is not able to play. He's out there on the field with his left arm in a sling after having surgery.
What about Aaron Boone? First of all, we got to give him a lot of credit. I think he's done a tremendous job keeping everything together with the injuries. I mean, I can only imagine how tough it was to go ahead and get them to this spot right now.
Yeah, 100%. And what I'm always going to remember, and I think I told you guys this story last year, is that when the Yankees were eliminated by the Red Sox in the playoffs, you know, Aaron Boone's someone who I worked with on Sunday Night Baseball for years, and so I know him well. And I was leaving the Red Sox clubhouse after they had won, and I passed Aaron in the hallway at Yankee Stadium, and he didn't see me. We were the only two people in the hallway, and he didn't see me. He was staring at the ground, and he was doing this death walk toward the Red Sox clubhouse because he was going to congratulate his friend Alex Cora, and you could just see the anger burning in him that, you know, that they were in this position that they had lost. The message from the beginning of spring training was, you know, do everything you can to put yourself back in the position, and they certainly have, in spite of all those injuries that they've dealt with.
Buster, how is Boone going to utilize the DH position in this series? I mean, are we looking more at Encarnacion, or do you think Stanton's going to be in the DH slot?
Encarnacion is starting tonight.
Yep.
He's cleared. He's good to go. Giancarlo Stanton now has got, I think, 9 games under his belt, 8 for 28. I asked Aaron about, how has he progressed coming off the injured list, and he said that he looks better than he expected, that he's moving better, and he feels like a lot of that has to do with how the work he was able to do in his rehab and getting a lot of plate appearances down in Tampa. So at least for now, the Yankees seem to have guys injured every day. They certainly look like that they're as close to full speed. Incredibly, this is the first game. This game tonight is the first game when they've been able to put together all of those sluggers plus Encarnacion that we, you know, projected back in the spring.
Wow, Buster, let's move over to the Red Sox. Earlier this week is kind of a wrap-up press conference. Ownership said they want to slash payroll. What'd you make of those comments? They've kind of tried to backtrack since then, but what'd you make of that?
Well, what I made of it is that it's one of the first confirmations that I see that of what I'm hearing from other teams that they think the Red Sox are going to trade Mookie Betts this winter. Because the bottom line is that, you know, to get to the payroll that they want to get to, they're going to have to make some really hard decisions. And, you know, I'm sure that internally, you know, part of that might be J.D. Martinez. If he winds up taking his opt-out clause, the Red Sox might not re-sign him. And then with Mookie Betts, he's in line for a huge arbitration decision. He's a year away from free agency. There's a belief with other teams that Mookie, being this close to free agency, will not sign with the Red Sox. And they think that, you know, whoever comes in to replace Dave Dombrowski is going to have, that's going to be item number one on his list, to find a suitable deal for Mookie Betts. And I mean, I promise you this, if they trade him, the return is going to seem less than what Mookie is, but that's the reality when you get a player a year from free agency, and any team willing to make a deal for him has got to know, yeah, he's probably going to hit the market. You're not going to be able to re-sign him, so you're just paying for Mookie Betts for 1 year.
Buster, the comments by ownership that really, really resonated with me are, they said they knew they had a different vision for the franchise than Dave Dombrowski the day after last year's World Series. They then kept Dombrowski and then allowed him to spend lavishly in signing both Sale and Bogarts, and one of those deals looks good and one of those deals doesn't look good. If they had a different vision a year ago today, why did they allow him to spend like he did?
Yeah, I thought those comments were ridiculous. Bottom line is that it's not like Dave Dombrowski can steer the payroll and steer the direction of the franchise all by himself. He works for them, so they can't separate themselves from him on that. And the other thing, too, from what I understand, when they met with Dombrowski on the night, that Sunday night when they fired him, you know, they told Dombrowski, hey, we're going a different direction. We're going to be, you know, retooling, rebuilding. And I don't know if they actually use the word rebuilding because they're always leery of that particular word. Yeah. But the indication was, you know, we're going to probably wind up cutting back payroll and we're going to have someone else do that. Dombrowski made his case, from what I've been told, that, yeah, I could be that guy. I could be the guy who could do that. I've done that before. And they said, no, we're going to have somebody else. The reality is they just wanted to make a change. So when I saw that comment about Dave having a separate vision, that's ridiculous. Because the vision, whatever the general manager's vision, it always has to be endorsed and backed by ownership, whatever direction they go.
Yeah. Buster Olney, of course, joining us on Friday. He usually does it every Wednesday. He's live at Yankee Stadium. How about my Dodgers? Walker Buehler, he is unbelievable. This is the year the Dodgers, you go with the pitching. They got the best pitching, second to none, even better than the Astros.
Wait a second. Your Dodgers? What's that about? You know, you're talking up the Mets all the time, and now they're your Dodgers? Here's the great thing about Walker. All kidding aside, Walker Buehler, look, he went to Vanderbilt. I went to Vanderbilt, so I'm biased. You know, I've always loved watching a pitch. He has more confidence than anybody else, and I love this story. Tom Verducci was the first to write about this, is that, you know, Walker Buehler has these great mechanics where he throws right over the top. And those come from his grandfather giving him instruction when he was 7, 8, 9 years old by reminding him to keep his ball, his two fingers, his index finger and his middle finger, on top of the ball. And the way that he did that was, think of your fingertips like snake eyes on top of the ball. And when I talked to Walker about that a few weeks ago, he said to me, you know why that was appealing? Because when I was like 8, 9 years old, I was really into snakes and lizards, and I wanted one of those things. So he could envision that. And that's led him, in part, to where he is now, in this great place, the dominant starter for the Dodgers. Yeah, they clearly are going to be the team to beat in the National League.
Elsewhere around the MLB, Buster, I'm guessing Joe Maddon going to the Angels is kind of a foregone conclusion at this point, correct?
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, a week ago, I don't think that people thought that they were going to fire Brad Ausmus, but it certainly, you know, this sort of situation takes on its own momentum. Where they decide, Artie Moreno, I think in the end, you know, was the one who probably led that. firing Brad 1 year after he signed, you know, a 3-year deal. And once Madden becomes available, you know, this is someone who had a lot of time in the Angels organization, someone who already Moreno knows, someone who's experienced. I tell you what, I know, you know, there was criticism of Joe as manager of the Cubs with some of the things that he did there. I think he would be a terrific fit with the Angels because with Mike Trout as the big dog out there, someone who brings it every day, I think he would be a really nice fit for a team that seems like it seems ready to move it up to the next level if they make the right pitching acquisitions this winter.
Buster Olney, ESPN, thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales. Peterbilt of Vermont live at Yankee Stadium getting ready for game one. Buster, one more Red Sox question from me. Alex Cora did a one-on-one interview, I think, with The Athletic the other day, not to pump up another outlet, but he basically insinuated that the Red Sox are behind the times, whether it be in kind of physically, they don't have enough batting cages, and also that men, you know, they don't have enough analytics department. I mean, did you ever get the sense the Red Sox are behind the times?
Yes. I do. I think that, and in part, I think, and I'm, you know, not in the office every day, so I can't give you a bunch of examples about why this is, but a lot of the people that were there when Theo Epstein was there, when the Red Sox were seen as being really progressive, have gone on and left. And Dave Dombrowski brought in, you know, folks like Tony La Russa and Frank Wren, very respected within the industry, but they're not of that generation. And I do think probably when you hear about, you know, what the Tampa Bay Rays do and what the Yankees do and what the Dodgers have, yeah, there's some catching up to do for the Red Sox. It's interesting because when Theo took over the Red Sox, it was Brian Cashman going to then Yankees owner George Steinbrenner saying, man, we are falling behind. We have to catch up in the information era. And now the Yankees have passed the Red Sox, and it's the Red Sox who are looking to catch up.
Buster, are your Vikings going to beat the Giants this weekend? Are you going to go to that game?
Oh!
I am so bitter. no, because I'm actually flying to Minnesota. I'm following this series on Sunday, and I'm very worried about the fact that, you know, Stephon Diggs, our wide receiver, is looking for a way out of Minnesota. He doesn't like playing with Kirk Cousins, and based on the performance, I can't blame him.
I love it. He's Buster Olney. He joins us every week. Buster, thank you so much. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. We'll talk to you.
Thanks,
take care.
Thanks, Buster.
Buster Olney, of course, of ESPN. Thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales and Peterbilt, Vermont. Live from Yankee Stadium. How cool is that?
That is awesome.
Yeah, you know, you say that every year. You say that you wish that was your job.
Oh, so envious.
That is great. Love talking to Buster. He must have a lot of frequent flyer mileage. We have to ask him about that, Brady, next time. He must have enough free trips for like 100 people to take on a plane or something like that. But that is absolutely awesome. Love talking to Buster. And, of course, he's getting ready for the Yankee game live at Yankee Stadium. The take on the Minnesota Twins. So that's what everybody's looking forward to.
Very, very cool there. And you know what's interesting when he says that the Red Sox are behind the times, and he's right when he talks about...
In what way, though?
Well, what
you said analytics, is that what it was?
Yeah, what Cora said was both physically and developmentally, they're behind the times. Physically, they don't have enough batting cages. They have one batting cage. It goes, guys are in... We're in a day and age where guys want to be around the park all the time, or they want to come in and hit whenever they want. It goes, we don't have enough places for them to do that. Guys can't get in the work that they want to get in. Now, he also added in that analytically they are, and look, remember, he's worked for the Houston Astros, one of the more analytically inclined organizations that there is. He's seen it firsthand, and he's seen what it can lead you to in winning a World Series. And he's seen them be able to sustain it year after year. He says, look, we don't have that. We don't have a department of 20. We have a department of 2 doing this thing. He goes, we need more help in this regard.
It's amazing that a Major League Baseball team could be, I don't know, understaffed, undermanned, underwhelmed, the way you're describing like that's just incredible.
I think it's not so much that they don't have the number of people, it's that their resources are allocated differently.
Right. And I'll tell you, is that going to start up the new conversation about a new Fenway Park? We haven't heard that in decades. It used to be a daily conversation. But if there's no room for batting cages, that could be something that might get the conversation rebooted a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think there. I think Cora said they're going to put it on the roof of something, and he was serious. I don't know what exactly he's talking about on the roof of, but maybe they're going to add something onto the roof somewhere at Fenway. He said they're going to have a second or third batting cage built this offseason.
I was just going to say, that's typical of Fenway. It's like downtown Burlington. You can only build up. You can't build out.
By the way, I think the Astros right now still with a 6-2 lead over Tampa. You don't seem like you're into some of these other series. You're all into, you know, we talked a lot about Yankees, Minnesota. I understand that. But are you checking out some of the other ones? Did you watch any of the Dodgers? But that was kind of a boring game on that one. That was a 6-0 game.
Last night I was watching Seahawks-Rams.
Yeah, you were. That's right. You were totally into the football game.
Every minute of Seahawks-Rams yesterday. That was a great game. But I am into the Dodgers and Nationals series. I'm interested to see what we got. Strasburg against Kershaw.
Some people said that he shouldn't even be starting for the Dodgers in the three games, you know, that they could have gone with Ryu and somebody else instead of Kershaw.
Well, I'm interested in that. Strasburg against Kershaw is going to be a great matchup, at least in terms of guys with certainly name cachet and recognition. That's going to be good. And I'm into the Twins. Like the Astros, I see the Astros 19 times a year beat up on the Mariners. I'm done with the Astros. I see the Rays 192 times between the Red Sox and the Yankees. I'm done with them. So I'm interested in the National League series we just talked about. And I'm interested in, to a degree, in the Braves-Cardinals, but I'm interested in the Nationals-Dodgers more because of the pitching prowess.
All right. Tom Fair Tire, text on if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. A little disappointed we haven't got more Yankee fans to go ahead and get in on the Tom Fair Tire text line. Always hear from the Red Sox fans. Vince, what? Red Sox talk?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to finish up the season. We had to do that, Rich. We had to wrap it up with Buster Olney.
That's right. We had to give up the bad news. But, I mean, look, the Red Sox are a 12-month-a-year team up here, whether they're on the field or not. Let's face it, it's just like the Patriots. At some point, you're going to talk about them almost every single day for some reason or another.
Well, and speaking of Vince, Rich, you're going to be hanging out with Vince tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to want to talk baseball. What do you think? That's right. Tomorrow, I'll be out at the Champlain Valley Fairgrounds just down the street here in Essex, along with the New England Hemophilia Association. That's right. A Hemophilia Association is going to have a Best Bloody Mary contest. How cool is that? The New England Hemophilia Association, part of a big fundraiser they've got going on at the fairgrounds tomorrow. I will be there from 11 till 2. We're going to find out who makes the best Bloody Mary in the Champlain Valley. 13 different vendors are going to try their hand at making the best one. They'll be competing. So why not come out? I'll be there. Love to see you. We'll raise some money for a very good cause. Like I said, Vince, nice guy. Doesn't always agree with me. In fact, we almost never agree, so it should be an interesting 3 hours of conversation tomorrow. But it's obviously for a great cause that we can definitely get behind.
Absolutely. Live at Valcar Brewing Company in Plattsburgh. Come on by. Still going to have plenty of time to come on by, get yourself a drink, enjoy some of the great meals here. Everything looks so delicious. I feel like just sticking my hands in somebody's food.
I really do.
I'm hungry. It looks fantastic, Brady. I couldn't eat everything on the menu when I came in here.
I just want the milkshake IPA, a pina colada brewed with lactose, sugar, pineapple, and coconut. That is what I want.
That's what you want. All right, Brady, tell everybody what's coming up next.
Well, it's Football Talk Friday. We go rapid fire. Game we're most interested in, least interested in. Which game's the best? What player do we want to watch? This is one of my favorite parts of the show.
All right, all that's next. You're in the huddle. What do we point to the game?
The young guy thinks he has all the answers.
The idea of a bacon cheeseburger, I don't need any part of.
But we're not so sure.
How is that possible?
Ugh. It's Brady Farkas.
If it has bacon on it, I'm not getting it.
On the Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, live at Valcar Brewing Company here in Plattsburgh. Great showing here for the people out here in Plattsburgh. Love coming out here. Brady, Rams fan Ralph is here. Some of the other listeners, texters, all kinds of people showed up. Love seeing and meeting all the people here in Plattsburgh.
Well, this has been a ton of fun. Scott in Plattsburgh was here
Scott
earlier.
Was here.
He texted in and said it was great meeting the two of you, meaning you and I. Rich is back in studio because the beers were very tasty, and we've been hearing a lot of that today.
Yes, we have.
Out at Valcar Brewing that the beer is tasty. I had a little bit of a sample before the show started. Rams fan Ralph is downing them over there.
Yes, he
so
is.
He knows that they're good. The food is great, too. I see people to my right are eating poutine. People to my left got
it
nachos.
It looks good. I just want to attack some of that. I should have gotten that, too.
Well, that's Nick the sales guy's fiance, so you might be able to go your hands in
her
food.
Bring that over here. Bring it over here for us to eat. That's okay.
So it has been a lot of fun, and it's going to be, it's great getting over to New York. We don't do it enough. It's something that we're working to rectify, and we've you know, we've had a lot of talks with the college and Plattsburgh State and trying to do some stuff with them. And we, now we know, you know, we got the relationship with Buffalo Wild Wings and our buddy Aaron and Marty. They also own the Buffalo Wild Wings in Plattsburgh. So there's an opportunity definitely for us to get over here more.
All right. The mistake of the day, Brady, told me about that.
Mistake of the day, 802-655-6672. Thanks to Embroidery Works, Joanne's Uniforms on Heineberg Drive in Colchester. It's your local shop for corporate apparel and first responder uniforms. They even offer lettering for your truck and trailer with competitive pricing and super fast turnaround.
Week 5 of the NFL. Give us some music. Put us in the mood, Brady. What's going on? Where are we going to start things off?
Well, I won't be giving you the music.
Okay, it'll be, well, whoever. Somebody's got to give us the music.
Whoever. It'll be Aaron. There you go. He's
there you
got
go.
It. Football Talk Friday. We start with this. It's kind of like our rapid fire segment on the NFL. How about this? The game you're most interested in, Arnie.
The game I'm most interested in is Green Bay Dallas.
Stole it.
Really? Well, Rich, you could have the same one also. All right. You could have the same answer because, look, Dallas after that loss, I want to see what their offense is going to do. And Green Bay, of course, 3-1 also. They've got to continue their winning ways. Ezekiel Elliott did not look very good. Are the Cowboys going to open it up? Important game is if the Cowboys lose, drop the 3-2, two-game losing streak, you're going to hear from the Cowboy faithful. Depending on what the Giants do, they could have a tie for first. So, yeah, I am I'm definitely most interested in seeing what the Packers and the Cowboys, Rich, could do. That to me is the best game.
Oh, I didn't hesitate for a second on the best game. No question in my mind. Cowboys missing left tackle Tyron Smith. That's going to be big. But and Green Bay's won 7 of the last 8 in the series. But I don't think that makes any difference. I think that loss is very much on the minds of Dallas. They're going to be back at home. Ezekiel Elliott, I think Elliott is going to have a huge week against that sloppy pack run D. Dallas has won 7 in a row at home. Green Bay's won 2 of the past 11 on the road. This one just screams Dallas. And I don't think it's really going to be that close. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys win this thing by a couple of scores.
Right divisions, wrong teams. We are in New York. We are in Plattsburgh. We got Giant fans here. That is the most interesting game of the week. Giants-Vikings. That is the most interesting game of the week. The Vikings got all kinds of drama. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen unhappy with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, $84 million to throw the ball between 11 and 25 times. Dalvin Cook, one of the top rushers in the league. Daniel Jones playing in front of the home crowd in New York. Golden Tate back from suspension. The Giants got a chance to go to over 500 if they can get a win here. This is the most interesting game of the weekend.
All right. Next
category. Game you think will be the best. When we come back in here on Monday, we're all talking about the games. Which game do you look back on and say this one will have been the best?
It's the same one as I had the most interested. It was the Packers and the Cowboys. That's going to be the best game. This may come down to a field goal. I know Dallas is favored by 3.5. But let me tell you something. The way the Cowboys looked offensively last week against the Saints, I got some serious questions on what's going on there. Now they're going to start questioning Dak. I heard people say, well, there goes Dak's 35 mil. We brought up Ezekiel Elliott. You've got to feed him and feed him until he's full. I want to see how Aaron Rodgers is going to do because I'm starting to believe that Aaron Rodgers' best days are certainly behind him. And I don't know if he's got enough left to get the Packers deep into the playoffs. They are 3-1 right now. A win here on the road against Dallas sets them up pretty good. But to me, this will be the best game of the weekend. This will come down to like a final play in the last minute. I see a field goal winning this game.
Guys, the best game of the week will be the last game of the week. I love the Monday night matchup, 49ers and Browns out west. This is a big game for the Browns. These are two teams that you can't quite figure out. Are the 49ers really 3-0 good? Have they really played anybody yet? Are they going to be one of those 12-4 teams? Where are they going? This is a huge game for them at home. The Browns, a team everybody had, is 11-5, 10-6, and competing for easily for a playoff spot. They're 2-2. And I just think the Niners, especially coming off that bye week, have a real good front that's going to drive Baker Mayfield nuts. So we'll see what happened. Cleveland looked really good against Baltimore last week, but I really believe the Niners are going to win this one in a tight contest.
Well, you're going to have to stay up late to see it, but the best game of the weekend is going to be Sunday night football between the Colts and Chiefs. It's a rematch of last year's first playoff game that the Chiefs played at Arrowhead when they beat Andrew Luck and the Colts. Now Jacoby Brissett goes in to Arrowhead and tries to beat the Chiefs. So Marlon Mack is questionable. That would certainly hurt the chances, but look, this is an 11-point spread. I don't know how this is an 11-point spread. The Colts are a good team. They had a tough game last week that didn't go in their favor, losing a bad loss against the Raiders. This is going to be a good Sunday night game. Again, you'll have to stay up late for it, but Patrick Mahomes against Jacoby Brissett, the ability for the Colts to run the ball if Mack is healthy, and I think that he will be enough to play at least and be effective, that's going to be the game that's going to end up being the best. All right, category number 3.
Yeah.
This one's the Snooze Fest Award. The game you have no interest in it. You'd be watching Judge Judy reruns overseeing this game. Rich, we'll start with you. What do you got?
Go ahead, Rich.
I bet you Arnie's going to agree with me on this one. The absolute Snooze Fest is the Bengals and the Cardinals. A game, I was reading an article about this game, and the opening line said, only a game a participating player's family would watch, maybe not even then. I mean, it's just, ugh. These teams haven't won a game in 14 straight games between the two of them. Andy Dalton has no running game. Now he's got no John Ross. Of course, he's had no A.J. Green. This is going to be an ugly, nasty game. Bengals-Cardinals.
No, the one I have no interest in, Patriots-Redskins. Rumor is it that Bill Belichick may not show up. I don't know if that's just a rumor or that he may leave at halftime when the score is like 35-0. Once the score gets to be 7 or 14-0 Patriots, I don't want to hear, see, or know anything that happens after that. Don't ask me, hey, Arn, did you see the 7th touchdown that was picked off and run back for a touchdown against the Redskins when they lost 56-0? I'm going to say no. I turned it off when it was 14-0. Don't ask me anything about it. I have least interest in this game.
Look, those two games could be snoozers. Those games will look like the Super Bowl in comparison to Jets-Eagles. Yeah. I mean, you're giving me Luke Falk again. I stopped the conversation, and you're giving me Luke Falk again. Watching the Jets is painful enough. Watching the Jets without Sam Darnold is extra painful. Watching the Jets without Trevor Siemian even makes it even more painful. The Eagles are going to win this game. They're going to win it big. Look, Le'Veon Bell is the only thing that interests me at all about the New York Jets, and he doesn't interest me that much. This is going to be a blowout. The Jets are the team I think is going to score the least amount of points in the entire weekend. They're going to get blitzed by the Eagles. Jets, Eagles, I'd watch Judge Judy over that.
Wow.
How about category number four? The game that actually means the most is what game, Arnie?
The game that's actually meaning the most, and I've got to go with Jacksonville, Carolina.
What?
I mean, yeah, both teams are 2-2. And, you know, you go ahead, you fall to 2-3, forget about it. I think you're really in big trouble. Remember now, Jacksonville, everybody in that AFC South is 2-2, so monster game for them. No doubt about that. And, of course, Carolina trying to stay alive while they have to go with their backup quarterback and not only a game behind the Saints. So the loser of this game, I feel, isn't even going to make the playoffs. The winner is going to be sitting in a pretty decent position. I think, to me, this is the most important game that people are overlooking.
Oh, you've been day drinking.
Wow!
Green Bay at Dallas, man. That's the big one for me. A pair of 3-1 teams, both in first place, and especially Green Bay in a tight division. If the Packers lose this game, and they've already lost one in a row, and they've got another game that they could easily lose and fall to 3-2, they've got the Bears and the Lions breathing right down their neck. They've got the Vikings. Not only that, the Bears are tied with them for first place in 3-1. The Vikings are only one game out. Packers lose this game, you could have a huge logjam at the top. They've got a chance to separate themselves from the division. Cowboys are in the same situation. I love them at home, but they can get ahead. The Eagles are going to win because they're playing the Jets. Dallas has a one-game lead on the Eagles right now, as well as the Giants, who I don't think are going to win Sunday. This is a big game for the Cowboys to win.
The game that means the most is the Bills and Titans. I don't know that it's going to be a sexy game. I don't know if Josh Allen's going to play. I don't know how effective he'll be considering he threw 3 interceptions last week against the Patriots. But the Bills are 3-1, and they're in a playoff position right now. The Titans are 2-2, but the Jaguars are interesting. The Colts are interesting. The entire AFC South is interesting. Houston's 2-2. I think the entire AFC South is 2-2.
Yes.
So Bills, Tennessee, that is the game that means the most because both of those teams are on a playoff precipice. Moving on to category number 5 of 6. The team with the most to prove is who, Arnie?
I said Minnesota Vikings. Disarray. People want gone. The wide receivers are talking out. Cousins said he's going to be benched if he doesn't play better, which I think was stupid to say to begin with. Yeah, the pressure's on, and it's big time. They've got a lot to prove, and it's got to start with this game. So make no mistake about it, it is an easy one, the Minnesota Vikings.
I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens, a team that got off like a house of fire to start the season. Looked like they were heading for an 11-5 kind of season. Their defense has completely disappeared. They've already given up 100 points in just 4 games. Who saw that coming? And I think that game against Pittsburgh coming off of their first win is going to be a big one for the Ravens.
Team that with the most to prove is the San Francisco 49ers. Rich, you alluded to it earlier. Are they for real?
Okay, yes.
Not a lot of people know about the 49ers. You know the names of Jimmy Garoppolo and Richard Sherman that lead the offense and the defense, but, I mean, come on, we're playing with who in the backfield? Matt
Mostert?
Breida and Mostert? I mean, these are the running backs. Most people can't name one wide receiver for the 49ers, and outside of DeForest Buckner and, D Ford, Who's on that defense beside those two and Sherman? Not a lot of people know about the 49ers. Are they for real, or are they a product of a soft schedule early?
Well, they played a tough division, though, Brady. I mean, that's the toughest division in football, is it not? Or
well, they haven't played the Rams or the Seahawks.
Right, but it is still don't you think it is the toughest division in football or no? I think it is, and I was wrong on that. I didn't think it was going to be that tough.
I think it's the AFC West when you look at the maybe not. The Chiefs, Chargers, I'd have to give that some more thought. That's a good question. The NFC South, I thought, was going to be really good when you look at New Orleans,
right.
Tampa, Carolina, and Atlanta, but Atlanta's been so bad. Last one, player you want to see this week most, player you want to watch most.
It's still Daniel Jones for me going up against that tough Minnesota defense. He's won two in a row. Now let's see what you do against this really strong defense. Look, I want him to win. I'm waiting for him to have that miserable game so everybody starts saying, I told you so. Well, I don't know if he's going to have it. I can't wait to see what he does against this defense. I want to see what Daniel Jones' numbers he puts up.
Same game, wrong player.
Wow.
I'm going Kirk Cousins. Absolutely. Yeah. This guy is under a huge microscope right now. And Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen howling all week, especially Diggs, who all of a sudden wants out despite his insane contract that he just put pen to paper on. And I just think Kirk Cousins can't possibly be this bad. And I think this is a very big game for him on the road in New York against a fairly porous Giants secondary. And if there's ever a time for him to shine, he might want to start this Sunday.
Yeah, same game. Both of you have the wrong player. It's Golden Tate. I've seen Daniel Jones, and I've seen Kirk Cousins play. I have not seen Golden Tate on the field with the New York Giants yet. He's back from suspension without Saquon Barkley. This is the guy that Daniel Jones will be leaning on this week against the Vikings. Vikings have a very good defense. They're incredibly good at stopping you on third down. Golden Tate's a possession receiver. He's the guy who can help Daniel Jones in those situations. Now you talk about an offense with Daniel Jones and his mobility and his ability to throw the ball down the field. Golden Tate short, Sterling Shepard intermediate, Evan Ingram doing a little bit of everything, Wayne Gallman pitching in. Giants offense all of a sudden looks viable. Golden Tate's the guy I want to watch.
All right, our picks are coming up. Brady, where are you going to be on Sunday?
Sunday we're watching football. We'll have both the Giants game against the Cowboys on and the Patriots-Redskins. It's our 101.3 The Game Pat's Bash at the Burger Bar in Colchester. We'll be there at 12:45. We'll have Scheinerbach beer on special for just $2.50, so come on, hang out with us. Tons of prizes qualifying you to win Patriots tickets. It'll be a lot of fun at the Burger Bar in Colchester.
All right, coming up next, the 4-Minute Football Fix where we give our picks. Stick around for that. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
The Redskins are 0-4.
Yeah.
Good luck getting that first win this weekend.
The Patriots take on the Redskins this Sunday with coverage starting at 10 a.m. on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, live at Valcor Brewing Company out here in Plattsburgh. Great to see all the Plattsburgh listeners, texters, tweeters, everybody out there. It is a lot of fun here. We're having a great time and great food, great drinks, great atmosphere, Brady.
I'm told that Jason in Plattsburgh, my biggest hater, is here now.
Oh, where? Where is he?
Well, I don't know. Does that mean that I...
Are you nervous? He's going to come up behind
you? I'm just saying
he's
lurking.
Do I go approach him? Do I wait for him to approach me?
Do you know what he looks like?
Is he weak if he doesn't come up to me?
Wow. What, are we going to get into a fight? What's going on here?
I'm just saying, do I need to go up to him?
George says, I love that brewery. Need to go back soon. Great show, guys. Thank you. From George. Do you know what Jason looks like?
He's texting in.
Yes.
He says, Jason is in the house, and he rips us. He says, nice of you guys to park sideways and take up four spots. I blame Nick the sales guy because I parked it in a spot, and then Nick Witten moved it and took up four spots.
No!
To park sideways. So that's all on Nick the sales guy.
That's that guy. Ugh.
Yes. I hate that guy.
Ugh.
That guy and then the guy that you're behind who decides he wants to back into the space.
Oh, I hate that,
and take like 5 minutes while you're holding up traffic.
All right,
Give
your picks. 4-Minute Football Fix.
All right, give us music. I guess I get to start things off. Carolina playing Jacksonville. Look, I heard Colin say this, which kind of surprised me because I like the favorites also. Colin says he was going with a lot of favorites in this one. I'm impressed with what Carolina's been able to do without their quarterback. It's been a good showing. This game, Jacksonville, I've got a lot of question marks in this one. I'm not sure they're going to be able to keep up. Plus, I only have to lay a small number here when it comes to the price of 3.5. Heck, I've been so bad, but I'm going to have to go with Carolina minus the 3.5 against Jacksonville.
For me, it's, and you know I was chomping at the bit for this one all week, and thank you guys for not touching it. I am taking the New England Patriots, so I don't often make any predictions, although I lost with them last week because I said over and it was under against Buffalo. I am taking the Patriots minus 15.5 with Washington. The Patriots are winning games by an average, despite only winning by 6 in Buffalo last Sunday. They're winning by an average of 24 points per game. The spread is 15.5. That's pretty easy math to figure out. Plus, it's Washington. I think they roll.
I'm going with Arizona plus 3 against Cincinnati. They're both winless. Cincinnati doesn't have a run game. Cincinnati now has John Ross on the IR. As you said last segment, they don't have A.J. Green. The Cardinals are building something, okay? They're not winning. They're going to win this one outright. It's going to be the first win for Kyler Murray. He's still got Larry Fitzgerald. He's still got David Johnson. There are some pieces there for the Cardinals to build around. They're going to get a win outright at the Bengals, so Cardinals plus 3.
All right, my second pick, Tennessee taking on Buffalo. Now, obviously, we know what happened to Buffalo and their loss to the Patriots last weekend. They've got some injuries. I want to see, obviously, what's going on with the quarterback situation, but I don't believe, first of all, the weather is not going to be good. I hear there's going to be a lot of rain. That will slow things down, but the Titans will be able to move the ball a little bit. I like the Titans in this one up because I have to also lay a small number. I'm still not sure that the Bills offensively would be able to go ahead and threaten the Titans in this one. So give me Tennessee minus the 2.5 against Buffalo. Rich, who's your second pick?
I am going with the under for the Giants-Minnesota game. I just think Daniel Jones, who's 2-0 straight up and against the spread as the Giants starter, but that was against a Bucs and Redskins defense that's been terrible. The Vikings are the league's number 5 overall scoring defense. I think he has his real first struggle of his career at home on Sunday, and also the fact that Minnesota is having so much trouble moving the ball, especially through the air. This one just smells like a 17-13 final. I am taking Giants-Minnesota under 43.5.
I'll go back to the spread. I'll take Indy plus 11 on the road at Kansas City. It's favorable to take Kansas City in all situations. I did it last week and got burned by it when they only won by 4 on the road at Detroit. 11 points is just too much for an Indy team. That's pretty good. They're not great, but they're still a playoff caliber team. To be an 11-point dog, even though it's on the road in prime time, no, I'm not buying that. Chiefs will win this game, but 11 points, I'll take the value there in Indy.
All right, my third pick. I love the Dallas Cowboys this weekend. Man, are they going to be upset after what happened in the Saints game. And you know they're coming out blazing. They're going to open it up. I expect them to really be able to put points on the board, go over the top against the Packers, who I'm not so sure how many points they're going to be able to match Dallas with. Plus Aaron Rodgers going up against that Dallas defense will have some success, but not nearly enough. Give me some of the Cowboys minus 3.5, Rich.
The over burned me last week with the Pats-Bills, but I'm going back to that well again with the Tampa-New Orleans game. The 46.5 is the over-under. Hell, the Bucs scored 55 by themselves against the Rams last week. I think New Orleans has got it figured out, even without Drew Brees out there. I really believe this game is going to be a high-scoring affair. Tampa-New Orleans over 46.5.
I'll go Patriots-Redskins. I'll go under 42.5. Look, wow. This game will be a blowout. I think it's going to be ugly. It could be 32-6. It could be 33-9, and all of those things would be under 42.5. So I will go with the under 42.5. I think the Patriots get up big and just coast. I could see it easily being 27-6, something like that.
And I also have to beat Nick, the sales guy, who has beat me by a couple games. He's got the Giants plus 5, Cleveland plus 4, and the over in the Buffalo, Tennessee, 38.5. That's a low number.
Very low.
38.5. That's unbelievable.
Could be banking on Allen not playing.
All right. So there you go. There you have our picks. Do them as you please. No longer strictly for entertainment purposes only. Last story, Stanley. Coming up next, you're in the huddle. What a 1.3 the game.
Wacky or insightful? We've saved the best for last. It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, let me get the Last Story Standing. I'll get right to it. Devin DeSoro, I hope I got that right, forced to resign from Avondale, Ohio Community High School for scoring too many points in a football game. It was the middle of the third quarter, La Jolla's homecoming game. They were up 30-0 over Copper Canyon. That's when the athletic director approached the coach and said, stop scoring in the second half. He said he wouldn't, but he would put it in his second and third stringers. Well, in the second half, they scored five touchdowns. But one was on a fumble return. One was on an interception return. One was on a kickoff return. So the only two touchdowns they scored was with the second and third stringers in there. He was threatened to be removed from the sidelines. He has been fired and forced out for scoring too many points because the parents didn't like it.
Can you imagine the parents of the... Can you imagine every coach with a 30-0 lead got fired because they scored again? There wouldn't be any coaches left in the state.
Yeah, but one was on a kickoff return.
Right.
One was on an interception return. What? And one was on a fumble return.
What are you going to tell the kids to stop running?
Yeah, that's what he said. He goes, what am I going to tell the kids to stop trying? You know, I couldn't do something like that, Brady.
That's ridiculous. So you put in the... The second string, you put in the third string, they deserve an opportunity to play too. I don't think that's a poor sport. In fact, I'd be more annoyed if I were a parent on that team that was winning and my kid's a bench player who finally got to play and you told him to just kneel.
We got to thank everybody that came out here to Plattsburgh. It's been a blast. All the listeners, the people here at Valcor Brewing Company have been fantastic. It's just been a lot of fun. Even Nick the sales guy has been good. How about that? Don't tell him I said that.
Nick the sales guy has been working the room all day long, getting people qualified for things. We had a pair of Giants tickets that we're getting qualifiers for to give away. This has been a ton of fun. Seriously, we don't get over here enough, but we're working on that to correct that. This place is great. Valcor Brewing Company. The food is awesome. We had the nachos. The drinks are good. And I can tell because everybody's getting multiple of them.
You better believe
Scott
it.
In Plattsburgh. Rams fan Ralph. Jason in Plattsburgh who finally showed his face. Nice to see everybody here as well. Remember, Burger Bar in Colchester on Sunday for the Patriots game and high school football tonight, Essex Colchester.
And thanks to Aaron back in Vermont, of course, with Rich on the other side of the lake, intern Shelby, and all the other people that helped us.
Intern Luke.
Intern Luke. So I want to thank everybody out there. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. Bye, everybody.